Well, boy, do we have a great show for you tonight. That's right. It is Hotline League time. Episode 22 is here. We're filming this on Monday night at 8 p.m. We've finally returned to our regularly scheduled programming hour after flirting with some earlier times and doing some stuff in Miami and all that stuff. We're back. We're back at the regular time. You're here. You're watching live, unless you're watching the VOD, in which case, what are you doing? You should watch live. Whatever. We're going to get into the show now.
Hotline League is brought to you by Omen by HP.
Brought a lot of energy for the start of that. I think that
you pooped.
What?
I say you pooped. Is that like all the energy you got for the show today?
Oh, okay. Yes. Am I tired?
That's yeah. Have you ever heard that term? Are you pooped?
I just try to keep it classy. We didn't do a good chance before the start of the show of having Twitch chat tell us about audio levels. So please tell me if there's any audio levels.
If there's any audio levels,
just let us know. Are there audio levels? If there's no audio levels, we've got some problems. I'm joined, of course, at the onset of this episode by Mark Zimmerman, my constant co-host. How's it going, Mark?
Great. There's been no new developments in my life.
No. Okay. Kelby, did you even see the crazy shit that happened with Mark? It's the biggest story to break in League of Legends.
I didn't actually.
Okay. We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Kelby, how you been?
I've been great. It was nice seeing you hanging out this weekend, Travis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super good.
Very good, very good. Yeah, I mean, do you want to talk about what you did, and then we'll go to Mark's life?
Yeah, dude, what the hell? I thought I was supposed to come to that LAN party, yeah. And then I didn't.
Anyway, so we had we had my 30th birthday celebration. We rented a house down in San Luis Obispo. Travis was there. Hunter was there. Nick was there.
It was Pismo
Peter
Beach.
Was there. Yeah. But Pismo Beach is like in San Luis Obispo, isn't it? Yeah, I think so. Well, like it's very close proximity. It's in the county if we want to get technical in that way. But yeah, we rented a house. We did a LAN setup. We consumed a lot of food and other good stuff. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You told me those were regular mushrooms, Kelby. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time. We played video games. Did not stream much because people, they don't appreciate being streamed when they're not in their right mind, apparently. This is what I learned.
It was really person, but that's okay.
Yeah. No, there were two people, two old men.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. But either way, I had a great time. So Kelby, Mark got fired. This is what the internet said.
I saw the Hotline League or the offline TV thing, but you got fired or you're just leaving?
No, that's the way people are characterizing it, which I think is a mischaracterization.
It's because, it is a slightly complicated situation because it was just done so unprofessionally, I guess.
This is some good stuff. I'm excited to hear about
this. So Josh tweeted he got fired or let go, whatever, and then of course makes it sound like I did, which technically in some sense I did, but then again not at all. So like the whole thing's just a mess because I had a meeting last Monday, and basically it was not necessarily a proposal, but like you're all right with this, right? And then like what they were proposing was not being followed at all. So I was like, this is bullshit, kind of. And then I got let go for not agreeing to that. And then the house and the talent were not all right with that. And so they tried to ask me back after some like revisions and structure changes. But at that point I was like, I'm done with this. So.
Creative differences with the leadership.
Yeah, creative
differences. Maybe the way that should have
that was initially what Josh said. But the problem with the creative differences is it actually had a knock-on effect of people misunderstanding that because IRL was the catalyst for a lot of stuff that went wrong because it blew up and people started losing their minds and making bad decisions. But no one was. But if you say creative differences, people feel like it was like we didn't want IRL or there was like arguments about YouTube versus IRL. When in reality, there was never like any competition between the two. It was just like what to do with the IRL stuff and bad decisions around that. That then highlighted problems. So like if you say creative differences, unfortunately it feels like people interpret that to mean like arguments over IRL when in reality the problem was not IRL.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Generally speaking, I think everyone's supposed to be very vague about what happens in these situations. But I feel like everyone's being too transparent.
You think people are being too transparent?
Yeah. Well, just in like general, like if in any, at a normal company, the employee leaves and they just say, hey, I'm no longer working here. Well, and the company doesn't really say anything and whatever. And now it's become like, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying it's just most esports thing in the world where now there's like Twitter posts about all the reasons and it's weird.
I mean, so to be fair, like I know a lot of people initially were like, well, why did Josh have to do an AMA? But as someone who is a public figure, quote unquote, who's going to stream and have a community who wants questions, I think streamers do have a responsibility to be a little bit more transparent. And that has a knock-on effect with me, who I wouldn't say I'm a streamer and necessarily quite a public figure like that. Yeah, but I am a personality. I am somewhat forward-facing. And especially after having so many personal difficulties with it, I felt like I was going to have to say something, and I didn't want to come out there and just say like what I initially typed up, which was a nice like, hey guys, thanks for having me, wore a lot of hats. Like my tweet was all I was initially going to say, but after the week of events that transpired and after the initial Monday meeting, I just typed up a longer thing, and I cleared it with them. Like I showed it to their management. I cleared it with the talent. Like I tried to make it transparent without pointing to specific instances or people, while also making it so people would be comfortable with it. Yeah. So I understand it probably didn't come across perfectly either, but there's no perfect solution there.
Well, it's almost been a year since I was laid off, and that worked out splendidly. I now have a Patreon sitting at $1,300 a month.
I mean, but I assume your primary source of revenue was the Riot stuff, or was it not?
Oh yeah,
it's Hotline League, Kelby.
I barely made dick from offline TV. Like I didn't care about the money.
Sure. Okay.
So it's not like a financial blow in any way.
Right.
He's got Hotline League supporting him, the core backbone.
That Hotline League.
The amount of money I pour into his bank account every month, Kelby.
Well, I mean,
those are $7,000 glasses he's wearing right now.
You know, these are actually Ray-Bans.
See?
I didn't even know that. I don't know where I got these.
You think the offline salary was getting him those Ray-Bans?
I found them in my room somehow and started wearing them for this show. And then when I went to Miami, I was like, oh shit, they're Ray-Bans.
I am way louder than Kelby and Mark. This is what I ask, or you know.
People. No, you're fine. All right, that guy.
I ask.
How are the audio? Is there audio levels?
Everyone says turn.
You guys have the levels.
I ask everyone for this, and then no one says shit.
More levels.
Oh, I was gonna make an Avicii joke. Oh, you did it.
Great minds think alike.
Damn, dude, you're a fucking beast. Travis.
Hello. Is this better? Twitch chat. Are you guys happy?
I like how you spent 10 minutes before the show producing it live on air, and we still don't have Avicii on
yet. Yeah, I
from now on, Travis, you can only say how are the Avicii's.
Yeah, how are the Avicii's?
Yeah.
Not as good in the past couple of years. That's why. All right. Well, look, the amount of support I've been seeing from Twitch chat for Mark, it's beautiful, and that's why this is going to be the What Should Mark Do Next episode. All our calls will be about Mark's next job.
Are you kidding me? I already have shit moving. I have shit moving.
Mark is desperate for work, inspiration. If you guys can call out and you give us an idea, any kind words you want to say to him, if you've been in a similar situation before where a streaming house has
I deal better let with you down. Feedback, so less nice things.
Fat Cat Scara, just trying to take at you for everything you're worth.
Mark, I know that the Burger King really close to my apartment is hiring. If you know, you wanted to come up.
What's your address, just so I know roughly where to go?
I live on Beloit in Santa Monica.
Oh yeah.
I can't remember my exact number. But,
maybe just hang out the homeless people for a little while, and I'll catch you.
Yeah.
All right. Is this better, everyone? Can we all be happy now with the audio levels? I hope so. All right.
Are we going to start this fucking show?
I've been waiting, dude. Like,
we had to address the elephant in the room.
That is not an elephant in the room.
Yeah, that's the elephant on Twitter.
It's the greatest scandal to hit Hotline League in years. Really? Mark, I've been meaning to tell you this, but Kelby and I have been talking, and we've agreed to fire Josh, actually. So he's
the greatest scandal. What was the name of that guy who came on and said
Watergate
and wanted to call me out on Clutch? Because I want that guy back on. I want him to call in for this episode.
I mean, he didn't believe in Clutch for playoffs, I think.
After we saw Clutch's performance.
Didn't we ask him?
Lack thereof.
Why didn't you call in when we had Apollo?
You know what I thought was super interesting is that, so like, Sebastian was on your guys' show in Miami, right? Talking about their expectations for Echo Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He said they were the underdog.
How he thought that they were going to 3-0. I thought that it was really interesting, however, that in the Echo Fox series, he decided to send up his social media staff instead of his team to play that series, because that was the worst performance I've seen by Clutch, only matched by their social media content. So it couldn't have been the players up on stage.
I like that joke. It was convoluted. I'm not sure you had Twitch chat following you with it, but
yeah. I could have done the wording better, but
Kelby's not a fan of their social media, which is like, admittedly,
is anybody a fan of their social
media? Well, their social media issue was not, it was not great at the start of the split, but they hired somebody later and then they got way better.
Yeah.
Way better. All right. I want to just point something out here.
Hey, Mark, do you want to tell us how to do calls?
I want to point out one thing really quick. All right. So Clutch Gaming, which is an LCS team, has been in the league for a full split, made it all the way to Miami, has less Twitter followers than me.
How about YouTube How about YouTube subs?
I don't have a YouTube, so I hope they're beating me there.
Listen, Kelby.
Start one up. You got 976 people ready to press that sub button.
Kelby.
I haven't worked for an esports team in 3.5 years.
Kelby. I haven't worked for 3.5
years. Kelby, there's no need to just show how much promotion I've been able to give you over these past years.
I appreciate
the only thing keeping you relevant to anyone.
The only thing keeping you Travis relevant Gafford. Is my relevancy to Double Lift.
All right. Mark, let's take some calls.
All right.
You want to explain how this works?
Absolutely. If you guys have not seen the show before, we have a Discord that we're
Josh is in the chat and says, "You guys can't fire me. Fuck you all." So we must have told Josh we fired him from the show. Okay, sorry.
It's
continue.
Funny because he's streaming right now, so someone must have gotten in there and told him.
Hey, if Josh is streaming right now, SOTL Travis on Twitch. It's a way better show, way better stream. Mark's on it. Kelby's on it. I don't know who Josh is. Come watch the real content right here. Go ahead.
So as I was saying, and I'll spam it again because I think it probably got pushed out in Twitch chat right now. I'm putting in the Discord link. You're going to need to join this Discord, and then there's going to be general voice channel, and everyone will need to go in there. You can kind of mute yourselves once you're in there. And then in the general text channel, you're going to put your takes, and I'll be reading those, going through them, and pulling people into the waiting room for ones that I like. You'll go through a short microphone check, and then we'll bring you on air. For this episode, I think Travis and I are talking about going back and looking at some of our favorite, least favorite moments, kind of like a split recap kind of thing. So anything that you guys felt like you really didn't like, really liked.
Yeah, what do you think has been good in the LCS so far? What do you dislike? I mean, I asked Chopper this question in the interview. What do you think was good about franchising now looking back at it? What do you think has been an issue? And I think overall, like, obviously that's kind of the general theme of this, but I think the nice thing is about weeks like this where there hasn't been as much news, people can call in and say all sorts of stuff. You know, they can talk about a bunch of different things that they feel. So if you've got some idea for something, I don't know, just feel free to drop it.
Yep. And once again, please try and be a little bit more descriptive of what your actual take is. Things that say, like, I want to talk about the league scene is not going to get you pulled.
All right, we're getting Mike Spam. I'm already dropping him into the waiting room. So Mike Spam, by the way, is a sub. If you are a sub, you get to go to the sub chat where you can put your question in, and more likely you'll get picked. But I see something there, I'm going to yell at him. That's how the show works. You call in, we talk about stuff. It's great. A couple of shout-outs while Mark is pulling questions. I want to shout out Radical Bread subbed, Rummy Cake for the 500 bits. It's Sarah's sub. Christabel resub says hi. It's Sarah's gifted a sub to Isley. Hook subbed. Dr. Manhattan 18 says, can we spam Omen by HP in the chat? Thank you, Dr. Manhattan. Very nice of you to support the sponsors. Really, really appreciate that. CT Ferris donated bits. Kelk 403 says, hey, Travis, just wanted to say you're awesome and that 500 bits only costs $1 for the first buy. If anyone wants to support Travis, it's true. They're running a promotion right now. For $1, you can send me five.
I don't have I'm not partnered or anything. Can you send that to me instead without having partnership or anything?
No. Kulas 33 subbed, or sorry, sent bits and says, we win? Did you hit on black in Vegas? I donated to the fund. No, I lost money in Vegas. Not that much because I spend my money on content, but we're doing okay.
I'm going to go talk to these guys.
Okay. Smilsap 917 resub says you're the man dog. The Serializer subbed. Exunzer sent 500 bits and says donating to help Mark find a new job fund. I'll tell Mark that whenever he gets back. I really like that. That's good. It's nice.
Travis, what the hell?
What?
With Mike spams. I can't believe you want to have him on for this one.
Yeah. Well, I want to show how wrong he is. By the way, before we get to Mike's spam, just so you know, somebody sent 500 bits and says it's for the Mark getting a new job fund. So thank you to Kelk. Or sorry, thank you to Zunzer. Hello, Mike Spam. Where are you calling from?
Still outside of Seattle, Travis.
Still outside of Seattle. I'm going to Seattle tomorrow night.
What for?
I'm going to hang out with Sex. Bonnie and Peter.
Sex.
Clearly.
So and if this gets heated, we can take it to fists in person. I'll beat you up is what I mean. Mike Spam, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I'm here because I'm excited for MSI and I don't care that it's at the EULCS studio. I think that's just as fine as anywhere else.
As anywhere Why? Else? It could be anywhere else and you'd be equally excited.
I could have had it in space, but I was like, hey, EULCS sounds fine.
Yeah, yeah. Berlin studio.
I personally don't care really where these events are held.
What if it was an online?
Most of these tournaments are really forgettable as an internet viewer in terms of location.
What if it was only an online only tournament?
I really wouldn't care.
Okay.
Like in terms of the viewing experience.
Yeah.
Well, your viewing experience.
Fair.
So you don't like in person? You wouldn't care about the in-person interviews or anything like that?
Not really. I mean, I've been watching League for 7 years now. At this point, it all just kind of blends together and I just care about the games.
So my question for you on that is how much of that is because they have had most important international competitions in serious venues? I mean, did you feel like the All-Star event that was at the NALCS was less hype than some of the other things that have happened?
Yes, but that was because of the event itself, not so much the venue.
We'll find that one out.
Did you were you impressed at all whenever you saw like the dragon fly into?
Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's definitely impressive and it's definitely cool to see, but as a viewer, that's not really why I remember those tournaments, or at least me personally.
Well, the thing that I really appreciate about having a significant live audience is background noise, like crowd cheering Fair. When big, exciting plays happen. Like when I think back on like some of the biggest events in League history, or I don't know, like the plays, the individual moments that stand out to me the most, there's always like, you know, some sort of crowd cheer in the background. And I think that helps also energize player reactions and caster. You know, I don't know. Mark can probably speak to this.
Caster reactions, definitely. Player reactions, I'm not sure I'd agree with that one.
I mean, nobody...
I can see the argument you're making, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I in talking to players, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, players feel like the stakes are way higher. It empowers them. They feel incredible when they walk out onto a stage inside of a massive arena. So imagine you just played. Imagine you just played in a massive arena to win your split finals. And it's like, congratulations, you've now qualified to go to the EU LCS studio and compete in front of a couple hundred people. And maybe you get a chance to play in the spring, the finals location, the semifinals location in Paris. But like, you go from this massive arena that has allowed you to qualify in to play at the studio. The best example of this, by the way, is the EULCS situation, where that team is going to go, or just one in EU and Europe, their massive arena, Fnatic now, goes back to their studio to compete. Like, you've just qualified to go to the studio to compete. Does that not feel weird to you?
Oh, it feels weird, but just the event itself, I don't care.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, the crux of his argument is not that some of this stuff isn't hype or that players shouldn't care. Just for him, he doesn't think it matters all that much to a lot of the people viewing online, right?
Exactly.
Or is it 100% personal, you don't care?
I would guess that the super casual people, it impacts the most. I think the more League you watch through the year, the less the venue actually matters.
See, I feel like the venue echoes out across everything. So the casters are going to get more hype. The players are going to feel like everything's more impactful. You'll get bigger reactions out of them when they win or they make a big play, because they know that they're doing it in front of this huge arena. When they walk out,
being this is just for the group stage, though.
Well, it's for the play-ins and the group stage, which is the vast majority of this event. And you're right,
but those games have always been forgettable. That's my hottest take here.
I mean, I don't know if I would agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think I agree with that, considering a lot of the region's best teams get knocked out in the stages, the group stages of these. So, like, TSM in North America's dreams are only sometimes group stages. I'm not quite sure I agree with that.
Group stage games would you say are really that hypey?
I would say like TSM locking in Ryzen Jace and losing again in 2016 was pretty memorable. Or like running into Victor with Doublelift was pretty memorable for NA fans. So I'm not quite sure I agree with this statement.
I mean, Gigabyte Marines, whenever they show up, is pretty fun. Yeah. Like, I think there are a lot of memorable moments. I don't know. Like, for me, so this might be the case for you, and it's fine if you are only interested in like what you're seeing whenever the games are happening. But for me, like, it's interesting. So I did that video about the venue size situation. It's been getting more and more views as time goes on. And I'm actually really interested, because I think by day four, day five of the group stage, when especially if one of the major regions doesn't make it out and they realize like, oh, wait, our team only played in the EU LCS studio the whole time. Like, that's going to feel bad. Like, imagine if EU doesn't make it out of group stage. Well, you know, whatever, people are going to say like, oh, yeah, of course they are, they're not, or what. Just imagine a world where they flop for some reason and they don't make it out of group stage. That team will have gone, like, EU will have had an international tournament in its own region and will have only competed in their own arena. So, I don't know. I think it's hard for me to hear that, like, it doesn't really matter. I understand that if you're only interested in the games, then yeah, like what's happening on the Rift is what's happening on the Rift, regardless of if it's in a massive arena or elsewhere. But I think this is the type of thing that has like massive ripple effects across the entire event. And I think people are going to be pretty upset about it.
There is one less hot thing I will say that's a bit less baity, which is I think Riot should do a better job, and I think they've dropped the ball pretty massively on selling the cities where they're at is more than just look at how big this place is.
Well, I think Miami, they did a really good job with that.
Sure. I'm not sure. I think they could do more when I compare it to like traditional sports and how well those broadcasts sell the cities because they've had time to be there. And I think a large part of this has come from the fact that league is really young and all they've had to push are look at how big these stadiums are, which just doesn't resonate with me as someone who doesn't go to events.
Yeah, I think that Miami is a pretty good example of a situation where they're trying to do more than that. So
I'd be interested to see where it goes. I'm not locked into my opinion, but right now for the 2018 MSI, the fact that it's at the EULCS studio doesn't really impact me.
All right.
So before we move on from this topic, Travis, you should do a straw poll right now of Twitch chat and ask, do they care about the venue size / location? Yes or no?
Like for MSI? Because I'll just do it on Twitter.
Do it and then do it after the event or during the event and see if you get a difference of a opinion. Okay. It'd be cool to see if people right now think like, yeah, I don't really care. And then they start watching and they're like, wait, watching them in the same setting that they already play in all the time is not hype. And
I mean, most people don't watch EU, so for them it's a new thing.
Hey, they had pretty similar viewership for their finals, supposedly.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they've done a worse job of building up their bottom teams. It's the same problem North America had last year, where no one watched Dig versus P1. It had like 10K viewers on the second channel.
All right. I just tweeted out. I'll link the tweet in Twitch chat so people can vote. Yeah, very good. Well, hey, thank you so much, Mike Spam, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, it's been a while. Talk to you guys later. Sorry if Twitch chat flamed you. You did have a very controversial opinion.
I can deal with Twitch chat.
Okay, very good.
It takes way more than that to impact.
How's the weather been in Seattle, by the way? Should I pack warm clothes?
Very, very rainy.
Travis, I voted. I'm the only one who voted. It's 100% yes right now. Just don't include the one vote part and screenshot it so you can see that 100% of people.
It's already different for me on my screen. I see that 63.
I'll screenshot it also.
Thank you, Mike Swim.
Talk to you later.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next caller. I don't know. I think it's crazy to say that people won't care, but
man,
I think
you're just gonna flame him when he gets off.
No, I mean I flamed him to his face. I think what will be interesting is the problem is I think Riot often looks at this stuff and they probably say like, okay, well look, we saved all this money and the same amount of people watched it. But there's like a viewer sentiment factor there that I think people aren't really taking into account. So
yeah, and you won't necessarily get like a super adverse effect to viewership for that event, but for future events when people are thinking like, is it worthwhile for me to tune in?
Yeah.
Is this going to be a memorable experience?
Yeah, and or maybe they just get overall a little bit less hype about it. And then like when Fortnite does something on the moon.
Yeah.
You get a little more excited for that. Rocketman 239, where are you calling from?
Michigan. Rural, definitely.
Rural Michigan?
It's a lot different from like urban Michigan.
Are you in the – there's like a dog and a glove, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Which part are you
in? Is 239 your area code?
No.
don't dox. What,
is it your birthday?
How is 23 no. – His area code wouldn't dox him, would it?
Well, I mean, just an area, but I mean, there's like a really wide area for that. So,
is it part of your social security number?
No.
Yeah, which part? Rocketman
239. What do you want to talk about on the show?
Basically, like what the effect of having new orgs in the semifinals and finals, especially like Clutch with their low social media presence, had on like the viewership.
Don't give Kelby that.
I like this guy.
Don't give Kelby that. I've heard mixed things. So I've heard some people say that viewership was down 20%. And then I heard, I think there's an interview somewhere with Riot Chopper. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe he's talking about Spring Split versus MSI or whatever. But I heard that viewership was up there. So have we heard an official, I don't know, Mark or Kelby, if you've seen this, but has there been an official statement about what the viewership was like year over year for MSI?
Do they
MSI?
Do? Yeah. I don't think they.
Well, he said clutch, so I think he meant all of MSI, right? Rocketman, sorry.
What?
Were you Rocketman? Rocketman, are you talking about MSI or Spring Split?
I was talking about a Spring Split Finals.
Yeah.
Spring Split Finals. Okay, so technically, clutch was not. Oh, semis and finals. Semifinals. Yeah. Why was I saying MSI? I don't know. I was thinking about
Miami. Did you listen to anything that he said?
Yeah, I don't know. I did. For some reason, I was thinking of MSI, and then I convoluted it with Miami.
Miami equals MSI, yeah.
Yeah, my mind, it's all the same. Well, I mean, one of those arenas is much bigger than the other. The point is. Okay, so for Miami finals, yes. Have we heard anything about what ultimate viewership was?
I didn't see any official stuff, but I know on the days that they were happening, there were two Reddit threads that went up, one for EU and then one for NA. And in the NA one, they were talking about how viewership for the finals was actually up compared to summer last split.
Yeah. So well,
spring is always higher than summer.
I've always heard the opposite.
Yeah. I think it's the opposite, isn't it?
No, Spring Split always gets better viewership than Summer Split.
Wrath
maybe
of Khan,
not for finals, but during the regular season,
yeah,
Spring always does better than Summer.
This was only for the regular or the actual finals, though, because it was like 500-something K for Europe, 500-something K for NA, and then supposedly the finals last year, which had TSM and C9 in it, peaked at TSM Immortal, excuse me, and it peaked at like 476 or something. I forget what the number was, but there were people talking in the comments about it. I didn't check their numbers to be like, these look right, and it could just be idiots just mouthing off, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, both finals being over 500K, I feel like is something that League's got to be happy with.
I mean, definitely don't think the numbers are bad. I just, like, I don't know.
I think it's good over... Okay, so... do I think that we would have had higher viewership in a world where TSM and Cloud9 had been in the finals? I do think that. But I think overall the viewership should still be something that we're happy with. It looked good. Like, it didn't... If you told me that, like, a brand new franchise team would be in the finals against Team Liquid, I would be really skeptical about the viewership. Seeing that that wasn't the case, I think I'm pretty excited about that. Additionally, I think the
highest viewership final is TSM and TL, not TSM and Cloud9.
What?
I think the highest viewership final is TSM and TL, not TSM and Cloud9.
I don't know about that. Team Liquid has historically not been nearly as popular.
No, for sure, but I think there's a much better narrative with Doublelift playing TSM.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes the narratives pull stuff out, but I think... overall, like the pop, like the push of Cloud9 versus is stronger than the narrative of TL.
Jumping back to the numbers, Twitch chat mentioned that year over year it's down though because the spring finals last year had higher viewership.
Yeah,
so it was summer.
So like Wrath of Khan has been saying that for a while. I don't know if it's true. I don't know where that information comes from. So I don't want to necessarily go
Twitch chat's reputable.
Yeah.
Twitch. I mean, that's citation needed. That goes in line with everything that I feel like I've seen as well.
Yeah. But either way, I heard someone else talking about it.
If it is down, I don't think it was down by that much. I think that the numbers are great for the teams that were playing in it. And by the way, I think this is a good thing overall because I think. No offense to Andy and the TSM guys, that it wasn't good for the sport that seemingly half of the fan base was all concentrated in one team. And I do think now with the departure of Doublelift, TSM not making it very far in the playoffs, all that stuff, that we are seeing a stronger distribution of fandom across the different teams, including 100 Thieves, a brand new team. I think that's overall good long term for the game. So I'm okay taking a hit on spring finals viewership if it means that long term we see a stronger distribution of fan base across all the different teams.
Do you think we're going to see another like team like TSM maybe take over the majority of the fan base?
No. I don't think so ever again, unless like, well, I shouldn't say ever again. You know, if League continues on forever and 10 years from now, we have another team that's got all the most popular players and they stick together and they win worlds. Like, yeah, there's a pretty good chance that team is going to like take over a lot of the fan. But I think for now, a lot of the teams are so close in skill and there's pretty popular players on a lot of the different teams. And I think, you know, in the past, we had a lot of teams that just didn't really know how to capitalize on wins or build a brand or whatever, but now we've got teams like 100 Thieves that are coming in and they're able to do that. So I don't think that we're going to see, I think that this is a trend that will continue on, but we'll see. I mean, again, like all it takes is for TSM to have a really good run at Worlds for them to consolidate a lot of their fan base back.
I think that I agree with you like 90% of what you're saying, Travis, but I think that, so what?
It sounds
what,
like you're 10% wrong.
Yeah, sure. But I think, well, maybe you'll agree with me as well. It would be interesting to hear what you'd say. That what competitive success does is it gives you the opportunity to create a fan base. But if you don't have anything behind it as far as personality or content or any like sort of stickiness for people to attach to, then your results really won't matter that much. I think why TSM did such a good job cultivating that fan base and retaining it is that not only were they incredibly consistent with performance, but obviously they had very popular players, good personalities, and created a lot of content behind it, which allowed them to, you know, build up that really strong fan base. We saw early on with Cloud9, before High, Meteos, and especially Sneaky started streaming a lot and gained in popularity, even though they were winning a bunch of splits, when their results fell off, their popularity would kind of fall off as well. But they've essentially remedied that now, where they're much more sticky with their fan base because the players also became big personalities and they started doing content.
Yeah,
100 Thieves, awesome. I have no doubt that they will be able to create that stickiness with the competitive success that they've seen. I believe in Echo Fox as well. Clutch could do it. They just need to invest into that to make it possible.
I don't believe in Echo Fox.
So you think like the winning is kind of like to start them out and then they need to build on from that?
Basically? Well, like,
yeah, well, so if you look at the losing teams' YouTubes, like even the people who are putting stuff out, like FlyQuest has actually been putting out content for a little while now.
Is it good content?
No, but they're still putting it out. And Turtle retweeted it, and Turtle has 100,000 plus Twitter followers, and the video got like 700 views.
Yeah, you could be creating. That's I do believe that you can create great content. And if you are a team that is just tanking, it is really hard to get anybody to pay attention to your content or get anybody to watch your streams.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that content deserves more views or whatever. Like, you know, if they were the number one team and Turtle retweeted that,
sure,
people would probably watch it.
By the way, a second ago, Kelby, when you were talking, Slasher showed up in Twitch chat and says, Kelby is dumb. And then he corrected himself and said, Kelby is wrong. I don't know why he didn't provide any more context, but I just want you to know that
exclusive
our good pal Slasher thinks you're dumb and wrong.
Nice.
I disagree on Echo Fox because I don't feel like other than Huni and maybe Dardock, the players have done a good job of like turning that into personal.
You only need two.
But they have a brand of like who those two players are. But those two players don't have like big streams or YouTube channels.
No, I mean, I think that's because I think it's because Echo Fox did a deal with Facebook. So I don't know. I don't know the nature of that, but I know for a while they were posting a lot of content
Facebook
directly onto Facebook.
Just pay for views, right?
I've seen Echo Fox put resources.
He has 1.6K likes on his Facebook page. I don't think that's very many.
Ooh.
Because doesn't Justin Negri have like 5 billion?
Yeah, well, I assume it was a monetary deal. I assume Facebook, because, you know, Facebook for a while was, I mean, seemingly still is interested in competing with Twitch for live content.
Dota and ESL. I know ESL hosted their Dota 2 tournament on there.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm just saying they're not resonating with the fan base, really. I don't see VODs of their stuff. I don't see them getting big Twitch numbers. I don't see them having engaged, like, huge engagement. And I think Dardock has a good personality for it. Huni has a good personality for it. And I think through their interviews with Riot and stuff, they have branded themselves well, but I don't think the org has necessarily done a great job.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I think they can do it.
Sure. Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I've seen Echo Fox put money into content creation and stuff. Like they just,
Yeah. They do all right with their Smash players actually and stuff. They're fighting game scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, Rocketman 239, anything else for us?
No, that's pretty much it.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for calling into the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Moving on. Hey, Mark, I'm going to go ahead and do a quick break here.
Why?
Well, Mark,
I'm glad. Why would that be, Travis?
I'm glad you asked, Mark, because it's time to talk about our sponsor, Omen by HP. Now, I know you all have heard this before, because anytime I mention them, Twitch chat just spams Omen by HP. You're all big fans like myself. But let's talk about why we're all such big fans of Omen by HP. Well, ever since they entered the space a couple years ago, they've been really supporting esports, doing some cool stuff for the gaming community as they create products that I use. I use right now to broadcast this. I'm looking at an Omen by HP monitor. I've got an Omen by HP laptop behind me, and they're really the thing that's powering so much of the operations here, including this show. They reached out to me last year and wanted to support the show and other content that we were doing. So we talked about it. They sent some computers over for Broden and I to use at Worlds. And then this year, obviously, they came on board with the show. They support it, which is super appreciated, because it makes this a profitable endeavor for Mark and myself. It's the type of thing that allows us to keep creating content like it and really doing a lot of cool stuff. They support everything from Overwatch League all the way down to this itty bitty show that you're watching right now. You know, it's just a very grassroots thing. And I really appreciate it. I know Mark does too, because we were just talking about the offline TV situation. He'd probably be out on the street right now if it wasn't for them.
Come on, man.
I'm just kidding. But what is cool is that, and I think Mark will agree with this, it is really cool that this show is one of a number of different projects that we're able to work on. And you can kind of take creative risks, do different things, to whatever, because, you know, they're supporting content like this. So I really like, you know, obviously appreciate their support. If you do, you should go check them out on Twitter. Throw them a follow. Say hello to them. Tell them you appreciate their support. You can check them out. I just put a misspelled version of the URL for their Twitter and Twitch chat. I have now put a correct version of their URL on the Twitch chat. If you're watching,
you got Omen by HP right. You just got Twitter wrong.
Yes, yeah. Twitter was the difference.
You would never get the sponsor wrong.
I would never get the sponsor wrong. If you are watching the YouTube VOD, which some of you do, you can look in the description. There's a link to them, to their Twitter. You can go give them a shout out. Thanks. Thank them for sponsoring the show. It's just really nice to have their support. They do a lot of cool stuff in the space, and I think this might be the coolest thing, but obviously I'm biased. So thanks so much to Omen by HP for your support. Really appreciate it. And looking forward to shouting you out next week as well. All right, Mark, time to grab the next folks. Moving on, as well as Omen by HP, I do want to give a shout out to a couple friends who helped support the show. I'm still catching up. So many of you guys sent bits and stuff. Smilsap917, The Serializer, Bobacola gifted a sub to DeRay. Thank you, DeRay, for receiving a gifted sub from Bobacola. He's gifted more than anybody else, I think. David Keogh, DarthZombie13, Cue the Music, and then Starbuck gifted a sub to Liquid112. So Steve now getting paid by Starbuck. It's very, very interesting, complex situation. BioTrace is on the show. BioTrace, are you related at all to Biofrost?
No relation, and the name's not even connected, actually.
Okay.
But
well, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Spring Arbor, Michigan.
Spring Arbor. Hey, we just had a Michigan guy on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping he would give me a relative idea of where he's from.
Are you in a rural area?
Yes, very much so.
Damn.
Maybe you guys are like next door.
You should buy some Hotline League merch, and then you can hopefully bump into each other. Oh, wait. There's no merch yet, Travis.
Mark,
oh, yeah.
The last time you did this.
You remember my merch idea?
The last time you did this, Luke spent months figuring out how to do a live show. Please.
Travis.
Don't start any other initiatives.
Let me ask Twitch chat if they would buy this. How about that?
Do it. They also say yes. They'll say yes, but then whenever you stick like a $300 limited edition Hotline League jersey in front of them, they won't cough up. I don't know why.
That's not the one I was talking about. You remember at dinner after the finals?
Can we wait a little bit after the sponsor plug for you to explain this idea?
Because it's after we just did the sponsor. No,
I want even more time to pass. There's a safety.
They're not going to watch all the sponsor plugs.
They need to, you know, walk away from their computer before you. BioTrace, what do you want to talk about on the show?
So I think that the Golden State Warriors do not care about their LCS team.
Jesus Christ.
It's It's obvious by their by the content that they're putting out. And for example, is I would rather have no shop than the crappy shop that they have. So as long as your shop isn't absolutely horrible, then maybe
you would be, when you say shop, are you talking about their merch?
Yeah, their merch is absolutely horrendous. It looks like it was made in a sweatshop.
What is okay? To be clear, what is
most clothing's made in a sweatshop?
Yeah, I mean, can you define what clothing looks like it's made in a sweatshop versus? I've never known that to be a distinguishing feature.
Is there? Oh,
I mean, Travis, the Golden Guardians don't have the greatest merch.
Are you okay? But I just saying the sweatshop thing is a little confusing because I don't know if jerseys.
Are, wait, can you link it?
Yeah, I linked it in Twitch chat.
I'm not in Twitch chat.
All right, I'll link
it. Why are you not in Twitch chat?
Because I don't read the Twitch chat. You know this. I don't let it influence myself.
It's a good idea.
Horrible.
Twitch chat.
So I just feel like
Twitch chat looks like it's made in a sweatshop. Okay, go on.
I don't think this. All right.
So I feel like the Golden State. All right.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's all good. But yeah, I just feel like their overall organization is just like feels like it's not cared about. And I think part of that is the appearance of, well, the fact that they're a brand new organization coming in and they have they finished dead last and, you know, only won a couple of games. But just even looking at their YouTube, I mean, they've put out 23 videos total and half of them are plays of the week from their team or highlights. And it's just like this video has 285 views, 188 views, 181 views. Like,
well, I mean, you can't use views. That is independent of whether or not the organization supports it, right? Like that's about the fan base, not about I agree that looking at their content and judging the amount of content they're putting out and the type of stuff they're putting out is a good way to say whether or not, but I think that the views are a little bit different.
Okay, sure, that's definitely fair.
Yeah.
With the kind of content they're putting out, it looks like they've started some things and didn't finish it. Like they started putting out some stuff for their academy team and just kind of stopped partway through the year.
If it's only getting 181 views, I'd probably
say. Right, exactly. And so even their leadership, I don't even know who runs Golden Guardians, but I mean, I know who Sebastian Park is and I know who Nadeshot is, but I just feel like they're completely disconnected from the entire LCS community and just kind of like letting them try to survive and just trying to do I don't know what their end goal is. It just feels like they have no direct path of where they're going or what they're doing. And it just kind of feels like they're just there. They're not putting out content. They're not doing anything with their teams. I don't know. What do you guys think? Like,
yeah. So, okay, here we go. First off, let's address this.
Start with who runs.
First off, somebody says in chat, why is Travis defending Golden Guardians? So I first off want to make it clear, I don't think I'm defending Golden Guardians. I do take issue with the idea that looking at a store online, you can say that this looks like it's done in a sweatshop, and two, that like you should continue content that's getting 150. It is a super hot take. I take issue with that. To answer your question, if you go to my YouTube channel, you can see multiple interviews done with the leadership of the Golden Guardians. The main guy that runs it is a guy named Hunter. Hunter, here's the caveat before we talk about all this stuff, conflict of interest. Hunter first worked with me at CBS Interactive whenever we worked at GameSpot together. He then helped me run Yahoo Esports together. Secondly,
Hunter was Travis's boss at both.
That's not true. Hunter has never been my boss.
His best friend.
Either he's terrible at running things or he was my boss, because if he was my boss, my God, that guy is brilliant. Look at what but he was never my boss. Secondly, the second in command at Golden Guardians is a guy named Spelzy, who lives with me and is probably listening to this on the other side of this wall right now. The third thing is their so social Travis media person. Their social media person is a woman named Rachel, who I hired at Yahoo. Yeah, GGS Travis.
Yeah.
All that being said, here let me tell you what I agree with and don't agree with what you said. I agree with the fact that their content has been very lackluster so far. I think they did a great job with the bringing Golden Guardians to the Golden State Warriors situation, or bringing them to the Golden State Warriors team and the venue and the stadium and all that stuff. They put out, that was like the first video they ever put out on their channel. I thought that was really good. I do not think creating content around your around the academy teams or academy highlights is actually very interesting, and I think that that's it makes sense that they discontinued that. I also think that I would point out, though, I think I retweeted this a while ago, that they were actively trying to hire a head of content or like a video guy or something like that. So I would imagine that will get fixed in the future. For additional context on I just remembered this. I should have said this before. The guy that Hunter works with / for is a guy named Kirk Lacob, who is the son of Joe Lacob, who is the guy that actually, this is very sad for Kirk, by the way. When you look up Kirk Lacob on Google, his title is just Joe Lacob's son. So hopefully he gets something to, but he actually is.
On the one hand, you don't have the nice title. On the other hand, you are that dude's son.
Yeah. So he actually is the assistant GM for the Golden State Warriors. So there's a pretty direct link between the Golden State Warriors leadership and the Golden Guardians leadership. So, so here's what I will say. Excuse me. Oh, Biotrace. I was trying to remember your name. Biotrace. So I think you're completely correct in feeling this way. And I completely understand why you think this way, because I agree that there has not been as much content coming out. I think that whenever you are the last placing team in the LCS, it looks like people don't care. They, I think, strategically went for they didn't spend the money that 100 Thieves or Team Liquid did to get like the award winning team. So I think it makes complete sense that this is how you should feel. Even though I know firsthand that that's not the case, that like the Golden State Warriors actually do. There's an interview I did with Hunter that you should watch if you actually do care about the stuff, where he was talking about how anytime picks and bans occur, they go through draft. Like, I think he said like their CFO or other executives from the Golden State Warriors message him and say like, is this good? Is this what we want? Like, they're watching it and seeing it stuff. So I do know that that's not there, but I do think that they have a long road to go in building out things like way better merch and a better content team and all that stuff. And I think 100 Thieves kind of blew them out of the water.
That don't look like they were made in a sweatshop.
Yeah. I don't know if they look like they were made in a sweatshop, but
yeah, I don't quite agree with that.
But I do agree that 100 Thieves merch is way better than the Golden Guardians
merch. What merch?
Oh, yeah. Well, but you can buy the Golden Guardians merch, which is maybe an advantage to it over the
100 Thieves. Maybe 100 Thieves need to get their team in contact with the sweatshop.
Yeah.
Exactly. Start pumping out some merch.
All right. Let's let's stop talking about the sweatshop.
Onto the roster a little bit. Like, I can see why a lot of fans feel that way, because even Optic to an extent was like built to win. And I don't think at any point anyone ever felt or said that like this team of Golden Guardians was built to win. And I think that people understandably and correctly called that out a little bit. So on that point that Travis didn't really cover, I also think that like it didn't look good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelby, you have a big conflict here, but go for it.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I've talked to Hunter about this. He knows they haven't put out a lot of content. He knows that it's something that they need to invest in, and they haven't done it yet. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of if I'm an LCS fan, I don't think there's a lot of compelling reasons to attach myself or create fandom for the Guardians, other than I also happen to be a huge Golden State Warriors fan. And because I am a Golden State Warriors fan, I just automatically like the Golden Guardians.
Yeah.
In liking the Golden State Warriors organization and hoping in the future that whatever I like about that organization will bleed through the Guardians. But I feel I feel the same way about a lot of the new orgs. The only org that has really impressed me as far as how they've been able to hit the ground running has been 100 Thieves. And as far as like disappointments, Guardians aren't the most disappointing team for me because I had kind of low expectations. The Optic is the most disappointing team for me by far.
Because they had a better grassroots in gaming?
Yeah, they had displayed a very, very strong aptitude for creating and engaging a fan base in multiple titles. Everybody's going to point to COD, but in multiple titles. And then they came into LCS and they just came out super flat. And I don't know why I care about Optic at all. I don't know. It's like nothing that I feel like they learned in other titles has shown through for me in LCS. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that a lot.
It's a tough battle down there. Which one's more disappointing? I will say a good organization is not going to be measured by like their first split. It's going to be measured over the first couple of years, hopefully. So like if Golden Guardians sucks after summer next split and they've just kind of been booty hole the whole time, I think it's
Go ahead.
Oh. No, I just said, yeah, that's all.
And then I think finally, the only thing I want to talk about is the subject of conflict of interest, because this raises a point. So I'm playing, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it because I don't know if we filmed enough, but I wanted to do a vlog that was just called Conflict of Interest. And it was about the weekend I spent with Kelby this past weekend. Things like this Golden Guardians thing come up, and I think it's a good thing and a bad thing, the relationship that I have. There's no way that I can, look, I worked with Hunter for all this time. There's no way that I can be like, fuck you, Hunter. I now have no feeling and emotion to you or whatever. But I do think obviously I'm super biased. I am more prone probably to defend Golden Guardians. I think the other thing though is that I know a lot about this stuff, and that's why whenever I hear people say, you know, Golden Guardians leadership doesn't care, or sorry, Golden State Warriors don't care about Golden Guardians at all, like I'm well positioned to understand the broader story of what's going on there. So, you know, it's just kind of the way that esports works these days. So, you know, everybody has relationships with everybody, and some of them are going to be stronger than others. But I don't know. I hope that answers your topic, Trace.
Yeah. Two things quick before I jump out. I just want to point out that my hot take on how it's not that surprising that TSM didn't make it in was brought up by Jat on the analyst desk. I just thought that was pretty interesting. I'm not as crazy as everyone thinks I am.
Was this in Miami?
When TSM lost in the first round, Jat made a point to talk about how this is a new league with new teams and a lot more talent, and that's not as surprising that TSM didn't make it to finals. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Oh, nice. But, yeah.
I think we hit on that on the Hotline League Live that we did, where it was like you were maybe it was Kelby who was popping off about this a week or two ago, about you let like one of the best North American talents of all time back into the environment. And, like, of course, your competition is going to be better.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, the last thing is hashtag pay Kelby. So
pay Kel who? Get
everybody wants me to get paid.
It's good having you on the show, Biotrace.
Kelby, maybe if you brought some value.
No. For the record, I'll say it again. Travis and Mark offered to pay me, and I said I appreciate the sentiment, but I don't want this to become an obligation for me. I want to continue to do it for fun. You know, and once you're getting paid, you know, it's
Mark, like, and I both breathed a sigh of relief because we value him at roughly $5 per episode. And we were worried that having to explain that was the cost, would he'd get a little insulted for that.
I was more concerned about the obligation part, where it's like, wait, we're like stuck with Kelby now. That was my concern. Yeah.
A couple things really quickly. We've got a lot of stuff going on Twitch chat today. So Nero is in the chat. He subbed and said, wow, fantastic. Would hate to miss a single Hotline League episode. Pretty sure he's missed them before. And also he wants to know if we all bought one orange and one blue light just for the show. Well, that's
one
actually...
One orange and one what?
Oh,
one orange and one blue light.
Colored lights?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's Philips Hue.
That could be...
Well, they should sponsor the show, by the way, with how much love and attention we give them.
I have every light bulb in my house as a feel.
I actually have a whole host of lights in there that allows it to change colors like this, and in no way is it just one LED light.
Mark, can you give me 60 seconds, and then can you pull Slasher from the waiting room, because he He wants to give a hot take.
I see you threw him in that.
Yeah. He's
why do you need 60 seconds?
Because I need to get through this. Lagunas resubs. He says the chain smokers in all caps. McHugh resubbed. Alex Tequila 23. Boba Cola gifted a sub to Zell. Very nice of him. Just casual subbed. He's the guy that helps run the audio version of the podcast. So thank you so much to him. Captain Hat subbed 4RM. Jess Swaggis. Mad Fishy. Boba Color gifted a sub to Asian Six Pack. Okay. Mistin Man 0423 subbed. And Real Foxy pledged $10 via Patreon. Thank you so much. We are really behind on all these, but I'll get through them. All right. You want to pull Slasher? You can check and make sure his audio is working.
Okay.
That might be a good idea. Let's see. Dot Radiant says Omen by HP. Omen by HP. Mad Fishy says Riot should have an event in Dallas. I've heard that it's hard for them to do stuff in Texas, but that's a rumor. Da Biggs cheered. Dyslexia subbed. And Mar2586 resubbed. And Slasher's here in the chat right now in the call. Slasher, where are you calling from? You're muted. Okay, there we go.
No, I'm waiting for you to do your plug, Travis.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
Your plug. My apartment.
Where is your apartment?
New York City, Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful Upper New York City in Manhattan.
Got a loft.
Yeah. By the way, Chainsmokers right from New York City.
No, stop it, Kelby. Your music taste is awful. I'm right near Central Park, just a block away.
Slasher, do you want to explain who you are to the members of Twitch chat that don't understand who you are?
I don't think anyone cares who I am.
Okay. Then let's move on to...
Did you know that I got hit by an Uber?
I did. Yes. We talked about that. We were at Kelby's birthday party thing, and I was just like, this is not a good picture.
We How's said, your ankle? Why was Thorin driving an Uber in New York?
Yeah, I didn't know that you could do that from the UK.
Yeah, dude, I was coming back from the NYXL winning party, and Thorin just ran right around the corner, hit me straight on, and said, get wrecked, mate, and then left.
I mean, if you got to say anything about Thorin, you got to respect his work ethic.
Yeah.
Didn't make it all the way to New York.
Somebody in Twitch chat described you as just, quote, another unemployed esports journalist, which I think might just sum you up really well. How's your ankle? Do you have...
Travis, me and you aren't too much different right now.
Yeah,
my ankle is pretty fucked up, actually. I can't really walk.
Do you have health insurance?
That sucks, dude.
Well, I got the driver's going to pay for everything.
Okay,
I got the cops involved. And we didn't know it's Uber. So who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to quit esports journalism soon.
Yeah.
Get a nice little settlement out of that.
Yeah. They're trying to avoid bad press. And if I know anything about you, it's that you're really good at getting bad press.
You will blow them.
Yeah.
Blow them up.
So, Slasher, what do you want to talk about on the show today?
What's your hot take?
Yeah.
I want to say, love the show.
Thank you.
I really do try to tune in. I tuned in kind of late today, so I don't know what you're talking about. But I just, as soon as I watched it, it was Kelby talking more nonsense. And I do have to say, it is indicative of all three of you. Actually, I don't know Mark as well, but definitely
throw me in there, Travis. Throw me in there, dude.
Yeah.
You two prioritize fan base and traffic and views more than winning all the time. And that is really all that you care about, is if the team and the brand and the content is doing well and they put out a good video and they do their promotion well. And then, maybe if they're a good team, then that kind of matters at the very end. And it's total nonsense.
Because how much did Immortals success do for them?
Let Slasher keep going.
That's a totally actually, I would love to talk about that. Did Riot definitely
go back to your other rant.
Okay, NYXL is a totally Korean team, and they're the number one in the league, and that has definitely propelled them to the fan base they have. It doesn't matter that the entire team is Korean, and none of them can really speak English, and that has influenced their content, and yada, yada, yada. It doesn't matter. And really, that's the same that goes for the London Spitfire, who was another Korean team, which is doing just fine in terms of promotion and marketing and views and all that nonsense with the entire non-English speaking team. And there are other teams and other games that have proven the same thing. I would say like a Gambit, who won the CSGO major. Yeah, you have like Zeus and you have Dozier, the sex god. So they already have personalities, and I get that. But for you to prioritize building a team, and this goes directly into the Golden Guardians, to like... have a fan base over fucking winning, you are out of your goddamn mind. Winning is the thing that builds the fan base.
I mean, that's exactly what Kelby said, though. Winning gives you the opportunity to do all this stuff.
It is the priority. It is not like the thing that you do on the side. Guardians, and look, I've worked with Hunter too, along with Travis, for many years. It's unbelievable to me that that team is constructed the way it was. That team was constructed to lose. And I've spoken to Hunter a little bit on his methodology of building the team. And a lot of it is due to like building the American fan base, the American esports fan base, who will bring us to victory sometime.
Look, I mean, that's weird that he said that to you, because I don't think, I mean, Kelby, did he ever explain it? It didn't seem to me like they were about building an American fan base. Otherwise, they would have picked popular players.
But they still have five American players. No other team has that. Why would you do that if your goal is to even win a few games? Can any of you give me a good answer?
I'm not disagreeing with you on anything that you've said, though, Slasher. I think that you're right on everything.
Well, I know that.
I think that you're slightly just, and maybe it's the way that I'm presenting it, misrepresenting what I personally feel is important in building an organization. Like Travis was saying, I just think that, yeah, if you want to build a sticky fan base, like, you will get lots of attention as long as you're winning. You know, we've seen that. Sports, traditional sports, esports. Yeah, for sure. But if you want the fans to stick around beyond your success, which is something that you can't control as much as the resources that you're putting behind them on content creation, right? If you want them to stick around and still love your organization when you have the ups and downs, because not everybody wins all the time, then yeah, I think it's important to develop the personalities on your team and do good content creation. But of course, nobody will care about your team, just like Travis said. Regardless of how good your content is, if you can't win games, nobody's going to care at all. Why would they care, right? It's competitive esports, right? Like, if you're not able to win, then yeah, nobody cares about your competitive journey. I see it with Evil Geniuses Dota team right now, where even though they have the biggest personalities in Dota and they have been the most popular team for a while, because the team is not winning as much as they used to, the content is better than it's ever been, but it doesn't get as much traffic because the team's not.
I mean, isn't the same thing happening to TSM and League, Kelby? You were just telling me this weekend that you think TSM Legends is like super, super good and hitting out of the park right now, but the viewership on that stuff has fallen dramatically.
Yeah. Well, so I think you're absolutely right, Slasher. I wouldn't disagree with you at all.
I want to hear from the actual expert on here.
Who, Mark?
Travis?
Which is Mark, by the way.
I absolutely agree. Like, I was saying when we were talking about when that fan called in about Golden Guardians and how it feels like they don't care about their team, and they were listing like the jerseys and all this other stuff. I talked about how, like, well, I think you can especially feel it with how they put that team together. Like, a lot of other teams at least tried to put a competitive team together, and like you said, this team, like, no one had any belief that they would ever do well, and like, it did kind of work out for FlyQuest when people said a similar thing, but then they tanked instantly the next split. So like, yeah, I'm with you. Like,
So two things on the Golden Guardians thing. Golden Guardians bias maybe is the case, but I'm just pulling this information directly from interviews that are publicly available. Like, I don't, there's a thought here that Golden Guardians, like, that every team had to be super, that winning and success is defined by winning spring split, which I don't think is the case. I think that now that we're out of a relegation system, you can work on building a roster over time. Like, this is what the Golden State Warriors did and has led them to the success that they have now.
Right. And I get that. I'm just saying that, like, you didn't even, like, grab necessarily pieces that would be great for that. Like, you know, High is a pretty known quantity. Matt is a pretty known quantity. Like, Laurel, these guys are all two-year veterans, and, like, they are NA players. But you need to find... Yeah, I don't know. It's just like it's not even like they hard committed to youth or anything like that, really. It definitely was young. Contracts is kind of young, sure. But like,
I mean, they're like a year younger than all the other. They have the youngest roster.
Yeah, sure. But it's also like, you could also try and supplement that with some other talent other than High or something like, because remember that we had that caller who called in and said, like, why is High working with this team? Like, if he's not directly making them a better players, why is he your guy as opposed to trying out other people? Remember? And I actually thought that was a really good take on
yeah, the Golden Guardians, like, roster.
Yeah. So I'm saying, like, I don't even think, like, if you're trying to argue for a long-term strategy, you could make the case that this isn't even a great long-term strategy.
Well, I think what we'll be telling is what happens in the off season, both between spring and summer. Do they make changes to try to improve the roster? And after summer, assuming they don't go to Worlds, which I think is a pretty good assumption, what changes do they make? If they continue to pick up, like, lackluster players and they seem to be just going for, like, a budget option, then yeah, that's going to be really disappointing. But if they decide, like, oh, Defly actually played really well this year and we're going to keep him on and then we're going to change out something else, like, I don't know. I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think Defly actually did pretty well at the AD carry position. I thought their balling was good. Like, they have some pieces, but, you know, you gotta pull the trigger on a big name. Like, I
think, you know, the Golden Guardians is a perfect example. And there are other teams, I think, in LCS and other games where they're not built to win. They're either built to, like, build the American fan base, or they're built to try to get views for their content.
I just don't think GGS was built to build fan base. Like, that seems weird to me. I don't know what conversations you've been having with Hunter, but, like,
outside,
there are so much, like, they could have picked up PewDiePie, Skara, Voyboy. Like, there are players you can get if you want to build a fan base. From doing interviews, I'm telling you that picking up Defly and Matt is not the way that they're going to, if their whole goal was to just build a fan base, then they did that terribly, because that is not a roster you build to build a fan
American
base.
Player, do you think it's a coincidence they have five American players? Travis, are you blinded by your friendship? How much they are equal to the Shanghai Dragons in terms of disappointment in esports right now? It is actually kind of unbelievable that Hunter put together that goddamn roster, and I think it is definitely indicative of GMs not doing what they should. In terms of the first priority should be winning, not views, not traffic, not trying to build.
I think it's weird that you assume that all American players are going to be more, give you more fandom than European or Korean players. Mm. Like, if you get a Korean player that can speak English, that can be incredible. Even one that can barely speak English can build a huge fan base. European players build fan bases all the time.
I agree.
The most popular player that competes in the NALCS is a European player.
Well, I think to Slasher's point, it's more that it was more of a team identity that they were building and less of an individual player identity, where you're saying, like, we believe in NA talent and therefore we're going to invest in them. And that was, I think, what he's saying the pitch was on that team from a PR perspective.
Yeah, I think that's what it was from a PR perspective. I don't think that was the real strategy. I think the real strategy was, let's not spend a bajillion dollars like Team Liquid and 100 Thieves this year. Mm-hmm. And let's build a roster that is young players that we can add on over time. I think that was the real strategy. Now, yeah, I don't know if that's a good idea, because, I mean, how much this goes into a whole another conversation, but is NALC yet, like, if you have a 5-year plan, what is NALCS going to look like 5 years from now? It's a little bit different trying to do a long plan in the NBA versus NALCS. But I understand the strategy that they employed for this. And I don't think it was just like, let's create a very popular team using Matt and Defly. Like, that's how we're going to build fandom.
Well, I think it also depends, like you said, like, where they go from here. Because if they take, like, 3/5 of this roster, 2/5 of this roster, and then, like, their plan was to avoid the kind of salary jump that's going to happen when a bunch of teams join the scene and want to make sure they get good players. And then the next split, you can grab some people cheaper. They can build a competitive roster that way. Then, like, I think, you know, looking back on it, you can say that this was a successful strategy.
Yes. How cheap are the Guardians?
No idea.
I think they're probably second cheapest.
Either Optic or... I think probably either Optic or Golden
Romain
Guardians.
Has come out and said that Optic is the lowest paid, and he has access to the players' numbers through the players' associations.
So. I mean, that's also a big part of this.
Sorry, which, one more time?
It's also a big part of this aspect. Maybe Hunter just doesn't want to pay any money. He feels that players are getting overpaid, and that LCS players are overpaid right now. And
I mean, LCS players are overpaid right now.
Why? Yeah.
But why? One thing I want to go back to what you said, though, Slasher, is, like, you said that you think that too many GMs are putting too much focus on content as opposed to priority. I personally see it, or sorry, as a priority of competitive success. I personally see it as the opposite. I feel like I only see GMs building for competitive success and not putting enough priority on popularity. Because while I do think that competitive success drives to popularity, the most important thing at the end of the day is eyeballs and how many fans care about your results. You won't have a lot of fans caring about your results if you never have them, but ultimately, like in the end, how many people care about you is what drives your business. You know, like I don't give a fuck if you win every championship. You need to make money, and you can't make money if you don't sell merchandise, you don't get sponsors, if nobody cares about you, right? But like what GMs are like, do you think are, who am I missing out there that's like pushing more towards content as opposed to competitive results?
Well, I'm coming from a scene where the Dallas Fuel just it continues to implode.
Sure.
As of
but
today.
Going in, they thought that they were going to be, they were a very strong Western team, right?
Getting
and they were popular.
XQC and Seagull was specifically towards getting a fan base. Yeah, they're good players. They are actually really good players. But there was direct intent of what that was supposed to do. And it did not go so well.
Yeah. I'm
you're
not as
talking
up
about
to
Overwatch
date on the
and you're upsetting the Twitch chat.
So I can't.
They're not fans.
Yeah, well,
I can't really.
What Mark or Slasher, you had two topics. You have a tendency to just to take over everything that you show on. What was your second one before we move on to the next caller?
Oh, well, I didn't know if you were going to take Frescarin's question. I thought it was pretty interesting.
I missed it because.
Oh, I haven't
been
seen
spammed.
It,
yeah, what she was? Do you want to bring it up?
She wanted to know what the impact of brand size to viewership, and if the league could do more to market, or if it's on the brands themselves. Personally,
so sorry, you're saying is it on the team or the league to build the brand?
League. Yes, it seems. Like
I think if you're paying $20 million, it's on the league. If you're paying $10 million, it's on the team.
Come on,
that's a good one. That's a nice.
Honestly, okay, you can make that part of the argument, but I would say from the outside, Blizzard has totally owned Riot in terms of the promotional.
Oh, 100%.
Equilibrium between LCS and OWL. And Riot really has kind of dropped the ball. At the same time, Riot and Twitch don't have this type of partnership that they're paying a lot of money for, which is not included. And Blizzard has to try to spend more money because it is the first season. So OWL might not be the best example, but they are putting Riot to shame a little bit in terms of.
It depends. It's really hard to
have.
Yeah, go ahead, Kelly.
I was going to say Riot does have a similar relationship with BAMTech where we just haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
I mean, Twitch
if that's
and
ever going to be that. That's a whole
bias because I work for Twitch. Bias. But, Twitch and Overwatch League made something and then pushed it out right away. BAMTech deal has been like years now and we haven't seen anything. What the fuck is going on
there? That's a whole separate conversation, but I don't know. I think it's hard for me to compare Overwatch League and Riot because everybody wants to compare NALCS to Overwatch League. If Riot took all the money that they're spending in their leagues all around the world and funneled it into NALCS, what would that look like versus Overwatch League? Like it's very different from a global perspective. League of Legends esports continues to kick Overwatch's ass. From a local perspective, by God, like why doesn't Riot have more than State Farm and like kind of Acer sponsoring LCS whenever Overwatch League was able to land all that shit?
But Riot chooses to waste money on EU LCS, right? Like nobody's forcing them to do that. Overwatch League made their strategy and decided to do something different than what Riot's doing. And they're ultimately creating a much better looking product.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess to get back to some of the original points, it was that the league was doing a better job promoting itself or the orgs that are a part of it?
I would say both. The teams make money. Or helping the team. Kind of expand their fan bases too.
Right. So like as someone who when they watch Overwatch League, it's basically just the gameplay. I don't know what they've done. Like what have they done just to like fill me in on like what an example?
The in-game tokens are probably their biggest interaction in terms of selling skins directly for the team.
And Twitch, they have like an all access pass. You can spend if you spend $30, you get access to a bunch of unique features and ways to watch the game. If you spend 20 or if you have Twitch Prime, you get it for 20. And like they brought in Twitch, and Twitch is able to push this a ton, and Amazon does a bunch of stuff, and Tracer was in Ready Player One 3 times for some reason. I don't understand.
Is revenue sharing in NALCS?
Yeah, there's revenue sharing. I don't know what revenue they're sharing. There's probably not much.
Yeah, exactly. That's the joke.
But it exists in NALCS for sure.
Yeah. There's a hypothetical rev share.
Yeah.
Loss share?
Yeah.
Is NALCS not making money?
It's hard to imagine how it would be. I mean, here's the problem.
I can't make money.
Like Overwatch League, none of this shit is transparent. So, like, how much are they spending on anything? Who knows? And how much are they making? You just have, like, rumors and weird things. Like, the Allstate sponsorship could be $500 million. And, yes, this thing is super profitable, but I don't think it is. I've heard that it's not great. And
I have heard that the State Farm – don't you mean State Farm, not Allstate?
Oh, yeah. See? I would say
Dumbass, because the State Farm analyst desk has been marketed perfectly.
Well, that's a branding problem between State Farm and Allstate. They should just become Farm and All.
I've heard that the State Farm sponsorship is significantly smaller than the smallest Overwatch League sponsorship. So, yeah.
But we also don't know. Like, the problem is that because State Farm is limited just to these two splits, whereas the other sponsorships are multi-year for Overwatch League? I don't know. Like, it's hard to compare. The point is, I'm pretty sure Overwatch League is making way more money than NALCS.
Yeah, they came out and they sold way more than Riot did without having a product, and Riot had years and years of viewership. Like, do you know how hard I work in sponsorships? It is so much harder to do what Overwatch did than to do what Riot has failed to do. Like, the sales competence on display here is like night and day for comparing Overwatch League compared to NALCS. Yep. Like, it's embarrassing.
I agree.
And I mean, I've said for a long time, though, that I felt like NALCS, like, I don't know why they don't.
Now, we should say Kelby works at Twitch, which is partnered with Overwatch League and
all that stuff. I should come out and clarify any biases I might have as well. I'm on the State Farm analyst desk.
This is a very biased show, everyone.
Yeah. It's Brian's fault the brands aren't bigger. I mean, the OWL teams had to start from scratch.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely Riot's fault.
Another conflict of interest. Overwatch League shares a sponsorship with this show, and we're talking about Overwatch League sponsors versus. So there's a lot of complications here.
You don't need to listen to anything that we say.
Yeah. Another conflict of interest is Travis bought me lunch again today.
Yeah.
I don't work for anyone. Everybody hates me. There's no conflict of interest currently.
I think that Overwatch League is super impressive. Like, more than Riot has been a disappointment, Overwatch League is super impressive to me. By a significant margin.
What's a popular team that I can, like, look up their YouTube channel?
NYXL, the all-Korean team, who's number one in the week.
NYXLCOR.
Yeah.
We don't have any...
Worst name in eSport.
We don't have any in-and-out moments like LA Valiant, though.
Yeah. I've heard that the reason that Riot didn't have a lot of sponsorships is because they were really ambitious in their asks as far as, like, you know, what they were willing to provide and then pricing. And then Overwatch League just went out and got those things from a bunch of different brands.
Part of the reason it's hard to compare is that, like, Blizzard Activision has been a partnership and marketing monolith forever, right? Like, this is the same company that does Call of Duty, and how many, they do integrations, partnerships with a ton of people.
How many Doritos have those guys?
Yeah. There are tons of these. There's obviously a much stronger team that has existed for a long time and has done a ton of deals like this over the years. That being said, it still doesn't stop me from being really disappointed with what I've seen from NALCS right now. And if I was a team owner who just paid $10 million to get into the NALCS, I'd be... I'm at one of the meetings in Miami with Riot. One of the first things I'm bringing up is, where the fuck are the sponsorships? So, yeah. I don't know. Slasher, do you have any parting words here before we move on to the next?
Thank you for having me on. Two things. Thorn got blown the fuck out this week. You're all very welcome. I was very happy to do so.
I got you back with your ankle, so I don't...
Two, I made a comment about Doublelift, which I was pretty serious about after Liquid won, in terms of like his resolve and being able to, you know, handle the situation. I thought it was very memorable of him in eSport. I did not realize he asked people not to specifically mention the situation prior. I got a lot of upset comments, which I understand. So I apologize for anyone who is frustrated by me and my, you know, not taking care of Doublelift's feelings.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Slasher.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
You always liven things up and then take over half the hour of the second block. Anyway, thank you so much.
Well, I want to make your show interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you want to take Kelby's spot?
I mean, easily. I barely watch a week, but I could do.
Okay, he's
good. Slasher was great, though.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Thank you so much, Slasher, for coming on. Really appreciate it, as Twitch chat says, hang up. Before we move on to the next caller, interesting thing. I talked to Mark about this earlier. I have a pseudo ad, pseudo not ad to talk about, on this show. So they're officially not sponsoring this show. They are sponsoring some of their content that I'm doing this week. So
they are officially not sponsoring the show.
Yeah. They're not a sponsor for this episode.
They came out and made a statement that they will not
sponsor. On my own. My only reason I say this is because one, I want people to know I am working with them and there's some content that's hitting my YouTube channel later on because of this, but because I like these guys and I've known them for a while, I decided to, talk about them on the second half of the show, kind of like an ad. So this week, on Friday, there's a cool company called Ateo that is a clothing line that is launching. It is, the founders are two people, Rachel and Brianne, and they have basically been in the esports space for about a year now. A little bit of context on them. They basically come from one of the more prestigious fashion schools. One of them was a designer at Aritzia. They've big knowledge in fashion and a big passion, in that area. And basically they sort of stumbled across esports, got really interested in it, spent a year learning about it and decided to create, clothing for gamers, essentially. Kelby will like this. They went to so many events, including the Halo World Championships that took place. They were one of probably like six people in the audience of the. Do you remember the Halo World Championships where there's just like the two balloons out in front of the ESL studio for the $1 million prize pool?
Yeah.
So one story, hopefully they don't mind me telling this story. They didn't tell me to say any of this stuff, by the way. They were, I guess, on the shuttle,
not a sponsor.
Shuttle to the Halo World Championships. And they're like, oh, look, we're on the shuttle with other fans. Like, they're all going to this thing. And they're like, oh, so you guys other fans? And they're like, no, actually, we're one of the teams competing in the finals. The point is, they've gone all over the place. And they are coming out with, where did I put it? I just had it a second ago. Oh, here it is. They are coming out with their first product this Friday. I'm going to go ahead and put their Twitter in the chat. I think it's Ateo _. We'll double check. You can check them out there. They have a whole video about sort of who the founders are. And they've got some other people that I'm in sporting the hoodie already, like, hi. But yeah, this is the hoodie. I'll just tease it a little bit. And yeah, we did a video about it and some other things in Miami that'll be coming out soon. Super comfortable. Really like it. Just do me a favor, guys. Like, I really like Rachel Brianne. Working with them, they actually really care about the esports space. I don't want to call. There are some other clothing companies in the space that I've worked with that I really like. There are some newer clothing companies in the space that are. Let's put it this way: all these investors are coming into esports, and they just look at a whiteboard and they're like, "What areas can we get into? Oh, apparel is one of them. Okay, let's just create something called like Leet Pwn and slap it all over some shirts and sell it." It's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to be really smart and figure out like what would help gamers be more comfortable when they're playing and all this stuff. So do me a favor. I put their Twitter in I don't follow them. I'll follow them now. Sorry, I just got called out for that. Their Twitter has not been very active until recently. Now I'm happy to follow it.
I mean, they after we said officially not a sponsor of the show, they tweeted that out. So
yeah, they tweeted, oh, officially not a sponsor. So they are watching right now.
Yeah.
Yikes. Either way, thanks so much to Rachel and Brianne for creating some cool stuff. Check out their hoodie. I think it's going to be really cool. It's very comfortable. I've had it for a bit. And tweet at them, say hi, follow them, do something. Just they're cool. Cool people.
Wasn't your goal to double?
It'd be cool if we could double their follower count. Their follower count is now to 425, so I don't think we're going to be able to do that because we only have...
What? It was 1,200 people in here.
Okay. Everyone go follow Teo on Twitter. Let's see how... So it's at 425. Now it's at 447. We're climbing.
Shit.
Look at these numbers. They're just going.
Look at followers that... Wait, how does... Followers you know of them. Well, so Travis follows them. Bjergsen follows them. Ovi follows them. Monte Cristo follows them. That dude knows his fashion.
Some of these people are probably getting paid by them. Just
what's this girl's
maybe
name?
You know, I don't really care about
Brianne and Brianne and Rachel are the two women who have
that was for Twitch chat that
done
was
all this
one.
Stuff.
I don't know the reasons people follow them. Hi follows them. Noah follows them. Right?
You should. I don't know. You should check them out. They're cool people. They're doing cool stuff. We're at 475 followers now on Twitter. 514. We might gain them 100 Twitter followers, which would be nice. Now everybody's just talking about Monty. So I don't know. I just really appreciate those guys. They're cool. I'm going to read out some new messages while we move on to...
I'm going to tell the callers we need to get a little giddy up.
Yeah. Sorry. I know. Slasher derailed it. Now I'm doing this.
Second sponsor derailed it.
I don't think that Slasher derailed it.
Lagunas donated $10.
I think
says,
that your 5 minutes.
If Riot got the Chainsmokers to play their old stuff at an event, that would be memorable. Radical Bread donated $50 and said, "Feels bad, man. Mark doesn't want to talk about boot camping and LPL. Keep this for you and Kelby, none for Mark." Lagunas then donated $10 and says, "It's true. They messed up my order and didn't know they had an esports team. I have proof." I don't know what that was in reference to. Lagunas donated another $10 and said, "Hashtag save Lorlo."
That was probably about Golden Guardians.
Oh yeah.
That would be hilarious. They mess up the order and then like you contact support and they're like, "What? We don't have any sports team."
Lagunas donated $10, says paid for by Hunter, then another $10 and said back up the salt trucks. Dark King says still paying for a great experience on Hotline League Live. I hope for more in the future. And we have a call. Oh, wait, not yet. We're about Dragonmancers is here. Dragonmancer, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Dallas.
Dallas. And what's going on in how's Dallas?
I mean, it's all right.
It's all right. Okay. High praise for Dallas. What do you want to talk about on the show today, Dragonmancers?
I wanted to talk about how Best of Ones have been one of the, or will probably be one of the best parts for viewership of the scene.
Sorry, what's that?
I wanted to talk about how Best of Ones can be one of the biggest changes that can help viewership for the scene.
Best of Ones.
Changing from it?
Changing to it.
Okay.
So the changes that have happened.
Okay. So you think Best of Ones have gone really well?
Yeah.
Okay. So go on. Twitch chat will be upset about this. Twitch chat will be very split.
Yeah, I know. I've watched your content for a while and I know the casters have been very vocal about how especially the analyst desk has improved a lot because with the best of three format and having two channels, they couldn't review the games as much as they wanted to, or they couldn't watch the games and figure out their segments as much. And I think the analyst desk has improved a lot out of this split in general. And I really like how that has improved my viewership of the scene.
So
it's interesting.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Travis. So I think that's actually something like I hadn't really even like I knew it. Like that's part of the reason that we put more effort into the analyst desk was that like there's more bandwidth now. But I hadn't really thought about like why that would be, such an improvement for viewers either. Because to me, the conversation around Best of One always feels like it centers around like competitiveness and how it's not that bad and how it gives bad teams a better chance and yada, yada, yada. But it is true. It's a lot easier to make a cool segment and have fun if I'm not having a producer in my ear. Like, and then this thing happened and Baron stole a 22 minutes thing, so that is a good point.
So do you think, so is it just the analyst desk that's improved the experience, the Best of Ones for you?
Well, I think it also adds to the point where you can actually watch all of the games instead of having to like actively choose between which teams you want to watch for the day. And so you can actually view all of the games and not have to go back and watch VODs of all the games instead of
interact. Do you find yourself watching way more of the best of ones now?
Yeah, definitely. I recently started getting into the competitive scene more last year, and then I definitely got more into it this year because I could interact more with like the stream and viewership.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, like, maybe even objectively, statistically, that best of ones are so much better for all the small teams, especially because, and that, like, the community as a whole has a better understanding of how. Sorry, I'm hearing an echo. Is somebody else hearing an echo?
Yeah, it's Travis. He's a mess.
Oh, okay.
His Avicii's are off.
Travis, can you? I don't know. Anyways, like when you. I actually can't do it. I can't do it with the echo.
Travis, you need to turn down your speaker volume a little bit.
You shouldn't hear echo now.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's better. So when last year, when you have like these teams that are playing to 5K concurrent viewers, obviously nobody's watching that match. So the only when like the two lower teams are playing each other now, like what's the smallest concurrent viewership you see for like NALCS matches? Like 80, 90, 100?
Yeah, you see a little under 100 depending on when in the day it is too and like what was before it.
Sure. So even for the lower teams, like their viewership there is like 10x. So that's way more people that are at least watching and understanding even the lower tier matches where like, I don't know. It's just like more people are watching these smaller teams. They have more of a chance, whereas just nobody cared, especially if you were having new franchise teams come in that didn't have install bases for fans. Like it's going to be so tough for them to grow. I managed a team for a couple years when best of ones was the thing, got out when best of threes was the thing. And now like, I don't know, it's so much easier to follow with best of one format. It's a lot easier to consume. I'm a big fan of best of ones, but running a team, I definitely was an advocate for and preferred the idea of best of two and best of three for a competitive standpoint.
I imagine the viewership of like GGS versus Optic versus TSMTL.
I mean, you don't have to imagine that. Like Echo Vrox versus FlyQuest on the second stream last year had like 10k viewers or something. It was like awful. So
no, yeah. there were literally matches I would put in our fucking esports and chill chat all the time. Like these guys are literally at less than 10k for a fucking LCS match. Like this is, I was like, League is dead. This shit is donezo.
Yeah, I don't. Like, it's a short call, Dragomancers, because I think we're all going to agree with you. I don't know if Mark has something else he'd say, but
nope.
The only thing, I mean, I guess the only thing is it doesn't feel like viewership is up a ton, right? Like,
no, it's not.
This has not been we dipped a lot in the past year or so, and this has not been the thing that has corrected it. Right. But I think it's arguable that we might have been in a worse spot had it not.
Yeah, right. Viewership is because League is not succeeding. Like you're only stopping the bleeding to a certain degree, but yeah, I think if we were in best of three, still the viewership would be significantly worse.
Yeah.
I think my biggest point is that the best of ones allowed it to consolidate into one stream, and then that has helped the production quality increase throughout the year.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Dragomancers, I feel like we kind of
matches. Those theater matches were so lame in the past.
Dragomancers, I feel like we kind of disagree with you. I don't know. I got nothing.
You're a smart man, Dragomancer. Was it Mancer?
It's Mancer. There's multiple.
Yes. You're in Discord, Kelby. Look.
I don't see anything.
Dragomancers, thanks so much for your call. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
These actually aren't sunglasses. These are just reflective surfaces. I can't see past them.
I see. They're super sunglasses. Actually, you got those for looking at the eclipse a couple months ago.
What is?
Am I watching porn?
Yeah. Is that what's on your glasses right now?
No. The only thing I have up on my window is our Skype chat, and then to the right I have Twitter on the other monitor.
They're never going to sponsor this show. Okay. Let's move on.
Who's they?
Ateo. That's the joke. Is that they're still watching. Then you make a not safe for work joke. Laguna's donating $10.
Don't give sponsors. That's not how this space works. They do what partnership deals, but they don't do like sponsorships.
Kelby, it was a joke.
Okay, sorry, my bad.
What was the joke?
Hilarious.
I hate when I miss Travis's great jokes.
Yeah. Real Foxy gifted a sub to Jackalope. Boba Cola gifted a sub to Doraven.
Find it on Travis's YouTube.
Kulos 33 sent 500 bits as Hotline League merch. Do it, please take my money. Real Foxy gifted a sub to Unified Hearts. Girlish Menace resubbed 4 months and said, "Whatever happened to the BAMTech deal? What happened there?"
I mean, it's a great point.
I mean, we've all been asking it. Mighty is in the chat right now. Mighty, where are you calling from?
I'm calling in from sunny Chicago.
That's a good sounding mic.
Yeah, that's a real nice mic. Yeah, and is it really sunny? Because I feel like it's almost midnight there.
No, it's not sunny, and it snowed an inch today, so it's neither. Oh,
I'm he was being ironic, Kelby.
The Mooney, wherever the fuck.
Mighty, what do you want to talk
ironic
about?
Ironic or sarcastic?
Mighty, what do you want to talk about on the show today?
I think it's sarcastic.
I wanted to just bring up how roster volatility has been a huge thing. I mean, it's a big part of esports, but it's also been a part of leagues, you know, specifically. And I think franchising is probably going to fix some of those issues and how that kind of reflects. Because we've been talking a lot about brands, whatever that's supposed to mean today. But
Kelby loves talking. Brands is Kelby's favorite word.
See, I get kind of exhausted on that word just because, like, I don't really know, like, I'm not sure exactly, like, it's like such a nebulous thing.
I watched a great video, and by great, I mean fucking horrible, about this lady explaining how for millennials, individuals are the new brands, and I want to kill myself.
Sorry, finish your thought, Mighty. I don't know why Mark is bringing up terrible videos he's watched, but finish your thought.
What's up? No, I mean, I just wanted to, so, like, I'm a big, like, I watch a lot of traditional sports, like hockey and you know, like football and all that stuff, right? And I've noticed that I have like teams I root for there, but not really teams I root for specifically in the LCS. I watch pretty much every LCS game, but I just I think I just like League and I don't really care who wins. I just want to see a good game. And I think.
Really? You don't have favorite players?
Well, I do have favorite players, but that's kind of the point is when players switch teams so much, it sort of kills that like, oh, he's facing his old team. It's like, well, he's been on four teams. So, like, at what point does that dilute that? And I think that's where I like franchising. I like franchising for a lot of reasons. But one specifically is I think it might cut down on that volatility. And you can start, like, getting into the teams. Like, I like how this team plays. I like how, right, you can get into, like, the team instead of, oh, this guy left this team, so I'm done with this team kind of a thing. And you see that a lot less in traditional sports for a lot of reasons, but I think that's one big one.
Yeah.
Do we think there is any correlation between player popularity and how long they've been with a team? Because a lot of the most popular players in NALCS built their popularity with one team.
I mean, there has to be some kind of... I actually think it might be like the consistency is so rare that when a player is on a team for so long, like, you know, like people use and in fact, Score Esports had a really cool like sneaky feature.
All right.
I mean, it was a really good model of like going about how he was consistent. And he's like the one consistent player on C9, right?
I think you guys are going about it the wrong way, though. Like, you guys are coming at it backwards. Like, the reason why these guys are popular is because they are good and they've got great personalities, which is why a team would want to hold them around for a long time. And that's why you see the correlation is that good players become popular, good players also don't leave teams.
Other teams would also want to steal them away, right?
Yeah, but all those guys, like in the old world of esports, there were like three or four teams that could just monopolize all the popular players because why am I going to stay on Team Marn when I can go compete for TSM? It's certainly not for Marn, by the way, just to answer that question.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering if, like, because a player is with a team for a extended period of time, it enables them to you know, build that narrative out and have, you know, stickier fans and stuff.
I'm sure that helps. You really like the word sticky today.
Yeah, I know. I've noticed that.
It's a good one.
Makes me
something on your mind.
Yeah. look, I
stickers? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a so franchising. I think it is exciting to me that we saw that Reddit thread that was talking about how players are under much longer contracts now. That being said, long contracts have never, like, if a player wants to leave a team, he generally leaves the team. If a team wants the player gone, like, I don't know if having longer contracts is going to actually have players stick to their teams longer. But I do think that it was super exciting to see all the changes that occurred between last year and this year. Now I think I'm ready to see less roster movement and for players to start to kind of solidify. Like, I really like, I think it's really good that Bjergsen has been like a TSM player for this whole time. I think it'd probably be good if Peter lived out the rest of his career on Team Liquid. Like, you, once you start to create these sort of iconic players that have such a strong identity towards a team like Sneaky and Cloud9, I think that's going to be good long term. And I do think franchising will hopefully allow for that. Afremoo staying on 100 Thieves would be great. I think somehow, like, 100 Thieves and Afremoo, like, their brands, I think, work really well together. And I think it'd be good if those guys stick together.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what, that's the thing I think, like, most excited about with franchising is to build that sort of history and have it not be like this nebulous thing.
I mean, we were losing teams in the old system too, right?
Yeah.
So. Right. Exactly. Like at this point, if Sneaky left C9, like, my own like head experiment is like, okay, well, would people go to which team he went to, or would they be like, wow, that sucks that he left C9, but I'm still a C9 fan, right? I think teams are getting there, but I think if we have a lot more consistency with the roster, starting with the franchising stuff, we'll get there much quicker, and I think it'll be good for the league.
Yeah,
I mean, C9 would take a hit. They're not going to lose all their fans for sure, but I mean, we saw this when Doublelift went to TSM. Like, CLG definitely took a little bit of a hit. They didn't bleed all their fans, but obviously it really sucks, especially, you know, Sneaky is probably the second most popular player in NALCS, or very, very close with Peter for second most popular. So,
by the way, it's Twitch chat talking about Sneaky joking as if he'd ever leave for another team. I don't think he'd leave for another team. I think if there's a good chance that Sneaky could retire and just go stream full time. Like, let's say Cloud9 doesn't make worlds this year. Does he want to keep playing? I don't know.
That seems like more likely. I wasn't implying that Sneaky was leaving C9. I was just using that as
no, I know. I was just,
like, yeah.
Sometimes I just, Twitch chat starts barking and I just like to throw something at them to get them to shut up, you know?
Yeah.
I think that team brands, though, definitely do benefit tremendously from, I think over time, you're right with franchising, the player contracts will get longer. That's all. That's a really one of those big differences that we see between esports and traditional sports is that, you know, player, when you get signed as a first round draft pick in any other major sport, you're signing like minimum three-year deals usually for all those guys. A lot of them are significantly longer. And yeah, 3-year deals in esports are like almost crazy talk. So,
yeah.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that roster stability being. I think it'll be a really good thing, and I think it'll make a lot of the team like, even though we're talking about like mid bottom two teams, I think they're going to even find their own support. You know, however fast or slow it is, if they're consistent and it maybe like they play like a certain way that's like. Might not be optimal, but it may be when or maybe winning the fans, right? I mean, that's also, you know, something that's possible.
Yeah, Mighty, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yep. Love the show. Yeah,
thanks, dude.
All right, we're moving on to the next caller. Let's see, where were we? A narrow LOL resub. Thank you. Bobacola gifted a sub to Navi 1995. Real Foxy gifted a sub to Saint Pablo. We do have Frost Gurren on the show right now. Frost Gurren, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from deep Shanghai. How you going, Travis?
What is the difference? What is deep Shanghai?
Deep Shanghai. I literally live in the middle of Shanghai, like not on the outskirts.
Oh, okay.
I know about like a specific
center place, of Shanghai. Gotcha.
I don't know if there was a Manhattan kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like Shanghai has now transformed since the last time I was there into a ball and you now live in the center. Anyway, what do you want to talk about on the show, Froskren?
Well, I heard that you guys were going back and forth in terms of like branding and marketing, and I thought that Kelby offered up a lot of interesting views. I know one of the first guys was calling about like the Golden Guardians and their merchandise. And so Slasher was talking about, wow, Travis, you do have a bad echo. What the hell?
Isn't it brutal? I'm working
damn,
with this
dude.
Guy.
Aren't you supposed to be a professional?
He doesn't want to wear fucking headphones or in-ears. Yeah. You have my in-ears. Put in the in-ears, dude.
Froskren, you were saying?
Anyway, I wanted to get your guys' opinion in terms of like effort versus value, because it keeps going back to this idea of like content and branding and how viewership was down. But if you don't have massive organizations, and it wasn't just in the NALCS, it was also in the LCK. Without SKT being a parent in a final, their viewership was down. The LPL gets pretty generous because our top teams are consistently making finals. But I have no doubt that, you know, if an EDG or if an RNG didn't make a final, that our viewership would also see some of a dip off. So I was just kind of curious, like, how much do you think the league should actually be responsible? Because you kind of gave what I feel was a bit of a cop-out answer in terms of like buy-in from franchise, that it's on the brand versus the league, and what kind of like
are you saying I gave a cop-out answer?
Yeah,
yes, you did. Can we get
I gave a witty answer that got a great reaction from Twitch chat. That's my whole point. That I do the show only for that.
I want to hear your hot take though.
The LPL is fairly unique in that they heavily market and brand players, but mm-hmm. the audience and the palettes are completely different from like a Western audience. You can't take like a Western hype video and like sell it to a Chinese market. It's much more about humanizing the players and almost like this this boyfriend type of vibe, because a lot of our audience is also female. But majority of like our marketing, our promotion, our video content, you know, when the players take the stage, you hear all the girls swoon. And when they come and do their frontal interviews, you know, the girls all get forward with their cameras. All of the video and the merchandise marketing is all them like taking the camera on a date and like sucking on a lollipop and then like giving the lollipop away. Whereas like the NALCS, those
I
types
watch
of
more LPL.
Oh, yeah, you do. There's this great Clear Love shower video, let me tell you.
By the way, that's the first time Kelby has ever in his life said, I need to watch more LPL. So you're doing a good job already.
You're selling me right
marketing
now,
okay. League.
But like in the NALCS, probably one of your guys' biggest brands is Sneaky, but a lot of that brand was built off of his streaming persona that then the league effectively just, you know, took and ran with it. There's never like a... I don't know, Mark, you tell me if there's any like sort of segment. I mean, it's always like player focus first. Like, let's talk about these players. Let's build them up. But do you think there's any other way that we can help like these lower end brands that are just getting shut out because they don't win? Like what can the broadcast
actually
do? I
agree that the league doesn't do much for the players. I do think that there's one man who does a lot of content and focuses on all sorts of players. That's this guy right here. No one would care about Apollo if it wasn't for me. What's up? No.
Nobody Ryan cares Apollo. About Apollo anyways.
Whoa, shit, dude. Come on. I love Apollo.
I'm not saying that he's not a good guy. I just want to, let's pull up how many years has Apollo been in the league?
Since the beginning, I think.
All right. How many Twitter followers do you think Apollo has, Mark?
97,000.
All right. So I don't know what's going on. Kelby's mic.
Really?
Kelby's mic cut out, so I don't know what's happening there. But
anyways.
Yeah, let's get back to Frost's topic here.
So I think, you know, what you said was interesting about how they, like, I don't watch anything that's not gameplay. Same problem I have with Overwatch League. But, like, if they really are, like, really kind of embedding their content teams with them and, like, getting a good look at who that person is, I feel like at the times that the Riot NA has done that, it's often been, like, a written form. Or you've seen, like, Drive. And it's always telling like a very motivational story. And it's usually very touching, but it's also in some ways like not like indicative of who that person is on a day-to-day basis, I guess.
Yeah, I will say that it does feel like oftentimes I really like the Riot content. I think it is unparalleled almost. Like only recently I think teams have started hitting the level that the NALCS guys can pull off, but quite frankly, that's partially because of budgets, but.
So do you think this is a palette issue? Because the thing is Mark's saying that they don't have, like, LPL does a lot of kind of throwaway content that's fairly low effort in terms of, like, variety shows. Like, they'll take the players and right. they'll make them, like, try to knock over bottles, and it's just, like, weird, goofy shit. Mm-hmm. So is this simply that a Western audience doesn't find value if took, like, the Cloud9 players and put them in, like, a pie-eating competition?
So the biggest issue, just, like, I think, that. The biggest issue is it's really hard to get access to these players. I mean, yeah. even Riot struggles with it. The amount of times that I've heard good idea, like, Yahoo, we always had good ideas on, like, oh, we should do a show where, like, players watch their own games and then they're all eating pizza and just kind of hang out and talking about it. There's no way that show could have ever existed because we couldn't get access to it. And Riot doesn't have much of an easier time doing that either. Like, it's just really hard, I think, to pull off a lot of this content. And I think they get pushback not only from the players who want to scrim, but also probably from the teams who say, I have the ability to produce, to spend 4 hours producing a piece of content around my player. I could let Riot do that, or I could do it myself and sell it as a sponsorship to
yeah.
HyperX or somebody else. And so I think it's more of a timing thing, and that's probably why they don't do it. I also do think that Riot is a little obsessed with, like, the traditional sports world, and that's why you probably see much more of this like build up inspirational, sort of kind of put the players on top of a pedestal and, like, all that stuff, rather than, like, the fun and goofy kind of stuff, because the tone is always going to be very much like traditional American sports content, and that's kind of the glorifying of the players is very different than we're gonna have the player lick a lollipop and then hand it out to some whatever the crazy kind of soft core porn stuff that's happening over in LPL.
Don't get me wrong, it's my favorite video.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying it's a great video. I'm just saying, I think it's different.
Chicken or the egg, did LPL grow female fans through their marketing, or did they have a lot of female fans and then market towards them?
Ooh.
Because that's the question.
It's really hard to say because I just wasn't in here on the ground floor, but I've been to the NALCS arena. I've been to the LPL arena. I've been to the LCK arena events, and there's predominantly much more female fans at the actual arenas. When you actually break it down in terms of, like, female percentage fans that are, you know, playing or watching online and everything, it's much closer to, you know, the males vastly outweighing the female fans, but actually in venue and for a lot of these marketing needs in the LPL, at least it's pretty close to, like, 40-60.
The most women we've ever had in the NALCS studio was during All Stars, when all of them flew from China to support their Chinese.
You mean when team. It was like an LPL event?
Yeah, essentially.
Would you say that more females tend to show up to LPL and LCK than NALCS, or is it pretty comparable across them as far as, like, the percentage of the audience that's female?
No, that's what she's saying. Way more.
In LPL, like, and LCK? Or LPL more than LCK? Or
I've only been to the LCK studio maybe 3 times. Okay. And not their new studio, but, like, when I did Kespa Cup, and it was still, yeah. you know, there was many more females. But especially in the LPL, it is either, like, a 50-50 spread, or it is a 60-40 spread towards females, males.
Damn. Well, if we've learned anything recently as well, it's that Sneaky is defining the fact that you don't need to have a female audience to pander to them. Because his latest cosplay stuff has been top-notch, gotten a lot of engagement.
Frost, do you think that a lot of the, I mean, you kind of are asking this question to us, but I'm kind of trying to picture, like, let's say that, I'm not saying that you're saying that all the LPL content is super sexualized, but you said it's kind of like boyfriend content, where they're kind of like, it's similar to how I've seen, like, Asian pop stars kind of targeted towards female fans. Like, do you think that a lot of that content would fly here? Like, imagine, like, NALCS created a piece of content around Sneaky in that cosplay, and he's, like, eating pizza seductively. Like, could they even put that on the NALCS broadcast, or is that just too weird for, like, an American audience?
I how to express. You can even see it in the LPL English. Like, we don't run a lot of this content, even though we have access to it. You know, sometimes we'll show some of the variety shows or some of the games, but there's a lot that you're not seeing that is happening on the Chinese broadcast, because we're going with the assumption that that's not something that the Western audience is actually interested in. And then the content that we specifically make when we do, like, our Uzi and our rookie interview pieces, that's very much with a Western palette in mind. But I absolutely think that we need to kind of explore different branding opportunities for these teams and really give them a unique identity. It's like, Sneaky has such a strong identity. I have no doubt that you could sell him sexualizing pizza. And like the Western fans would find that hilarious. And so
I don't know. The Western fans would, but would it create too much of a scandal, right? Like, would it be too weird for, like, I know the fans would like it, separating that, like
the burrito thing with Meteos and Sneaky when they were doing like the honorable things. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the little ad. Yeah.
Sneaky at their window. I mean, that's probably the closest you guys have come.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think I understand like why Riot doesn't want to like do a lot of that stuff, because they like, I think like the, like Travis was saying, that kind of professional, high quality American sports vibe that they have going on right now. But it would be nice if they kind of had a different department that's just like, let's just make shit that the fans would find funny and engaging.
I mean, I've always thought that that's what lolesports.com should be. Like, they spent a bunch of money flying out Sven Skaren's brother to do a long article that, while very well written, I'm sure got very little people watching it. Whereas if you'd spent that money helping Sneaky build a new cosplay like that, I think that video would probably be way more successful.
But these are also like the players that don't need the assistance. I'm talking about, you know, like the middle of the pack, the mediocre bottom tier teams.
Does that work in LPL? Like, are there a lot of fans for the bottom, for the Golden Guardians level LPL teams?
When you look like holistically at, you know, like the Chinese broadcast viewership, because English broadcast viewership and Chinese broadcast viewership are very different, even in terms of where the spikes are. So like for LPL English viewership, if we have a bottom tier team like a Avicii Gaming or a TOP, which are respectively last place, like they went 2-17 this entire split, our viewership would actually bump because they have big brand name players like Marin and EasyHoon. So we have proof, and it's hard to say, again, chicken versus egg, if that viewership spike comes because EasyHoon and Marn already had established brands before coming to bottom tier teams. And if they, you know, if they didn't or tried to build their career on these teams, that you wouldn't get the same viewership bump. But like, there's a very strong correlation between like player popularity and viewership, at least for our tiny demographic.
How does LPL solve the access issue of getting access to these players? They just force it?
Probably.
In terms of like getting interviews?
No, I just mean like, you know, let's say they wanted to do a funny video with Sneaky, they have to get access to him.
Sponsorship is much more heavy-handed. Like Edward Gaming and Team WE have had to put off scrims before because they had sponsorship obligations, and the organization usually stands behind the sponsorship obligations. But these are, you know, it's hard to say whether these are, you know, content creation obligations or like going to a fundraising event or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, to those two points, like, I mean, after the games, all the players, I'm pretty sure, maybe not all, but like the players get pulled into the features room and they give like interviews about like state of their team currently and this kind of stuff. I mean, hypothetically, you could redirect some of that time into making funny shit really quickly. Like if it is as simple as, I don't even know.
Just smash like, or pass.
Yeah, like a really quick, I don't fucking know, dude. Like just anything, any quick video, like you could probably switch that time to then and not be an extra resource drain, but you are losing out on, you are giving something up to do that, of course.
Yeah.
And then to Frost's point about like, does it help chicken or the egg? I mean, the thing is, if people cycle and there's turnover, like Arrow was on the third place team. If you, like, he's a fucking goofy ass motherfucker. If you like built up that brand of being like one of the goofiest dudes in the scene, and then he ends up on Optic on a ninth place team, at least like people will know every like way more about him and will be more hopefully at that point. Like you only watched it because he was popular, but now that he's not, you already know that about him.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it's like more of a long-term investment where it's not like you create content around an eighth place team, seventh place, sixth place team and hope people watch it. But like when those players do end up cycled through a little bit, you have more knowledge of other players.
Hey, thank you so much, Frost, for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, cheers. Have a good one, guys.
Yeah, it's good.
Thanks, Frost.
Bye.
That was a really, really interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to get through these next two callers super quick.
Okay. Well, how about one sentence?
Okay. Well, just
the
just
hottest grab, of hot takes. Grab them. It's like a hot potato. You just grab it.
Grab them. Really quickly, thank you so much to... Grillish Menace. Oh, I already had that. Stylish Caesar, Real Foxy gifted to Sports Law, Dr. Manhattan gifted to Spanish Rice LOL, and Trinkhouse subbed. Snuffy the Seal, really quickly, what do you want to talk about and where are you from?
From Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Another Michigan. Yes. What do you want to talk about?
I just wanted to quickly touch on the topic of how the LCK production over the years has been vastly higher quality compared to the rest of the world. And how this could have impacted viewership and passion for the game and all that stuff that revolves around it. Most noticeably, the production from the finals this past week.
All right, Kelby.
This guy knows.
Kelby, I can tell we got an
original. I can tell we got an original OGN fan here.
Since like season three, season four.
You only have one sentence. You used your sentence, Kelby.
Because I remember, like, even like season three, season four, back like when like the English OGN stream would only get like 10k viewers max. Those videos they had like pre-game and stuff, like they were just such high quality and stuff. It was more enjoyable to see. And
I don't know if it's say what you're gonna say. Go for it.
I don't know if it's because of like budget, because they have like better sponsors over there.
Yes, Nafi. I know it's good. I know it's good. Look, Kelby, say your shit.
Hit me, Kelby.
Because this is like the Kelby. You're giving him like the circle jerk right now.
I'm already talking. I'm talking through this man right now.
Yeah, just go.
No,
hey, Travis, that a Teo hood makes a great way to muffle Kelby, huh?
Yeah, it's really
a great piece of product.
It's so true, though. Man, the golden era of League of Legends was like the first 2 years that Monty and Doa were on the OGN broadcast and those finals and the storylines and the production. And I remember talking to writers at the time. They're like, yeah, no, I think we do it better. And I was like, you are the most biased dudes I've ever talked to. It's fucking hilarious. Like, it's just it's so much better. People who actually can get into LCK and OGN just have a superior spectating experience.
Yeah, I understand how like it's harder because like time zone stuff, so viewership is
right. High,
but when people actually do have the chance to tune in, it's definitely a lot more because of the quality of gameplay plus production. It just seems overall better than NA and EU.
Yeah, I mean, it's also kind of harder to build a connection when you don't speak the same language. Those players never stream. Like, it's easier to get access and build a connection to people, you know, who you have more access to.
Yeah, I feel like it's also important, like, the big, like, personality of, like, Papa Smithy. I feel like it's really good that he's, like, what did they do? Like, last year they made him both on SPO TV and OGN. That, like, people were only turning into, like, OGN viewerships because they only wanted to see him. They didn't care about the other stream. But with the rise of viewership on both those streams, and I feel like he's a pretty big and important part there.
Thank you so much for calling in.
I only watch gameplay from other regions, so I don't know.
Thanks so much for calling in, Snuffy the Seal.
No problem.
It's viewers like you that make it so we don't have to pay Kelby. All right, last guy. Go for it, Mark.
He might be dead. We'll see.
Oh. OPTSM Reef Fan Resub. He said, so glad to continue supporting this amazing content. Love to have the OG cast on right now. I'm really looking forward to getting Hugh Lights because of the show, and a friend and I have started a new small talk show. Continue to produce great content. Thank you. I wish Phillips Hugh would spend this money. Blonde Squirrel said, we want Frost's hot takes. Well, you got him. OPTSM Fan sent $4. Won't be able to get on, but I understand Best Ones is better for franchising, but I value quality competition and more games to have better analysis of which teams and players are good. Best of threes are better for the fans in the long run. Learn to appreciate it. Bulba Color gifted a sub to Dadaris, and we're all caught up. Nobody else better sub or donate or send bits or anything like that, because then that'd be awful. Then I wouldn't be caught up anymore. I certainly hope that doesn't happen. I think you could see Mark you gave up.
Yeah, I mean, he's there. He just can't hear me. So when I called for him like 30 minutes ago, he probably just didn't hear me. And then when I was in there, he kept saying hello. And like both of our things are green, but he can't hear me. So
okay,
I don't know. His Discord's fucked up.
Sorry, Bangwin. I really
next time
wish you could be on.
Remind me next time.
Yeah. Naked Homeless Man resubbed. He said, unlike OPTSM Fan, I did buy Phillips Hughes on sale, and Jurisky resubbed for 4 months. That's the show. Mark, what do you want to say here at the end?
I don't know, man. It's the off season. I'm fucking bored. Maybe, I don't know.
Can I say that throughout this entire show, I don't know. I guess Brittany was probably watching at the start, but she's just been watching offline TV content this entire time.
It's some good content, man.
Yeah, she also watched Travis's interview with Bonnie.
I'm telling you, man. Offline TV, some good content.
Yeah.
I hope.
Why didn't she watch this show?
I sincerely hope they do well, and I sincerely hope
she normally does. But Offline TV pulled her in. She was watching Pokemon and Lily the whole time. I don't know. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
No, you didn't interrupt shit. I was just sitting here like, what do I say? Because I have not much on the table right now. So.
Yeah, he was just trying to figure out what to say because he doesn't have much going on. And then you started talking about how great offline content is, Kelby. So that was really sensitive of you. Kelby.
What? You don't need to be like, I don't know which. Like, Mark, I still I'm sorry.
I'll talk to Kelby after the show.
I'm glad to hear Brittany likes the content.
We won't. Well, look, I know. Hey, I hate that content, Mark. All right. I think it's awful.
That also means I did a good job.
I.
If Travis hates your content, you're probably doing something right.
Can't stand that online TV thing.
This is engaging content that people who don't know what I'm about can enjoy.
Mark, we're here for you. Kelby, thank you. You have anything else to say besides insulting offensive things about Kelby's or Mark's life?
Yeah, I actually wanted to give a shout out, if possible. And I wanted to give a shout out to Larry King.
Larry, that wasn't Chainsmokers?
Larry King, as you know, Travis, I mean, you probably, well, what do you think about Larry King, Travis? Because you're in, like, you know, journalism interviews.
He was ancient when the world was young.
Yeah, like, he's probably, like, maybe the most, you think it's fair to say he's the most famous interviewer of, like, all time? Or no?
I mean, it's pretty either close, me or right? him, so.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say, like, it's. Like, what he's contributed to the space and the number of, like, famous people that he's interviewed is so great. And I remember he did an online version of his show as well. And about 2 years ago, he had a then, like, you know, up and coming group on, you may have heard of them, called the Chainsmokers. And in a segment during his online show, he asked them questions that were submitted by fans via Twitter. And the very first question that Larry King asked the Chainsmokers on his online broadcast was one submitted by me via Twitter. So I have to give a shout out to Larry King for having the Chainsmokers on and asking my question. Thank you.
I thought you were somehow going to wrap that back around to shouting yourself out for asking a great question. I thought for sure you were going
there. Are you still blocked by them on Twitter?
I don't know why they would unblock me. I mean, aside from more the fact to that I suck the
fan pressure from Hotline League Twitch chat. They just feel besides the pressure of all Omen, 1,000 people.
Besides Omen by HP, our sponsors should be Philips Hue, the Chainsmokers, and Sarcasm. Those are the three biggest things you get on the show.
What about irony?
What kind of irony? Dramatic irony? There's not very much of that.
We release versions of the show on iTunes and Google Play. For those of you that want to check it out, the VOD goes up on YouTube and some clips, some highlights, some good moments. And if you are watching the VOD and you want to watch it live, it airs generally Monday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/SOTLTravis, which eventually I should get changed to twitch.tv/TravisGafford. But I've been lazy. I'm going to Seattle tomorrow. Thanks, everyone, for watching my content. Check out Ateo_ on Twitter.
You got your leftovers from barbecue still?
Yeah. Actually, Peter might have eaten them. He said he was going to come by, and he asked if I'd eaten yet, and I said I did, but there's some leftovers in the fridge, and he asked me if he could go through my trash afterwards as well. So that might have happened. I don't know.
Double the spirit animal is a raccoon.
that's about right. I think that's true. Thanks so much to Mark and Kelby. Thanks so much for everyone watching. This has been Hotline League, episode 22.
Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.